less than an hour, aircraft from here will join others from around the world. And you will be launching the largest aerial battle in the history of mankind. Mankind, that word should have new meaning for all of us today.
You're a retard.
We can't be consumed by our petty differences anymore.
And rendered into shards. It doesn't have anything to do with the fact that it's rendered by perhaps the dullest actor to ever grace the screen.
Bill Pullman is awesome.
Bill Pullman's a nice guy. Exciting, he is not. Thrilling, he is not. Really, he is not. He's not a gripping man. That's all I'm going to say about Bill Pullman. He's not really. You know what Bill Pullman is? Bill Pullman in the movies is the guy across the street who cuts his grass a lot. That's the guy. Hey, look, it's Bill Pullman. What's he doing? He's mowing the lawn. And then he's sort of mowing the lawn, and he waves at you, and he stops to mop his brow. And then the good humor truck drives by, and then something exciting happens starring somebody else. That's all I'm saying. I was surprised by that, though. I didn't know we were going to play that. Sarah, all the way, I've got something fantastic to play at the top of the show.
Oh, you can't use your Scotty J voice on me.
No, that's not my Scotty. I don't think
that
I
is,
have
that's when you're like, Scotty came up to me and said...
Oh, I only really have, like, two voices.
And I have to give Aaron credit because he surprised me like that.
Yeah, thanks for that, Aaron. I thought it was going to be something from My Chemical Romance. I really did. In no quadrant of my brain did I anticipate that we would be hearing the mellifluous tones of Bill Pullman today. We got to play that again on the 4th of July because it's just that good. Jesus. It's so bad.
It isn't bad.
All right, fine. You know, we're arguing about a movie that's like a decade old.
That made a lot of money.
We're arguing about a movie that came out like 11 years ago. You know, and here's the thing, and I'm not going to get off into the whole thing about Independence Day, the movie. I think those numbers are inflated. I think that is a fictitious box office record that movie holds. I can give you a whole reason why if you want a whole long laundry list. I wrote a whole blog about it when I was unemployed. I had a lot of free time and energy. I wrote a big-ass blog entry. And it was about War of the Worlds. It was about the Spielberg War of the Worlds. And I noted that War of the Worlds was the loathsome presence of Tom Cruise notwithstanding. And that whole sequence in the middle that was ripped off from The Abyss notwithstanding. The War of the Worlds is a really, really great film. I mean, it was fantastic. It was everything that Independence Day tried to be and just failed spectacularly. That's my only... I'm not going to start. I have already started, but I am going to stop.
Okay, good.
I'm going to stop right now. And here's the other thing about this.
I know I was going to stop.
He's always just Dr. Jameson from Singles to me.
He's always Dr. Jameson.
Every time I see Bill Pullman trying to do anything,
Dr. Jameson.
Totally. I just picture Bridget Fonda reaching up and like tousling his hair.
That's the worst line in that entire movie that involves him. But he's just like, you know, Janet, I had a really special feeling about you. Yep. Thanks, I already have a boyfriend. I hate that line. Yeah, that is the weakest line in the movie.
All Cameron Crowe films have one bad line.
Ugh.
Just the way he works. Like a mole on the shoulder of a beautiful woman. Every Cameron Crowe movie has one bad scene. With the exception of Vanilla Sky, which is just one long bad scene that goes on for about 2 hours.
Yeah, they don't so much tell you he's going to have a mangled face the entire time.
Terrible film.
All right, we're done. You know, here's the other... By the way, that thing in Singles where she adjusts his hair, he then recycles and he uses an Almost Famous. Because Kate Hudson does exactly the same thing to what's-his-name, to Patrick Fugit. When she tousles his hair and then she gives him a furrowed eyebrow and she goes, there, now you're mysterious. Totally stealing from himself, Sorkin style. All right, I'm done. We spent 6 minutes talking about Independence Day, a movie that came out 11 years ago. There's no... He's giving it the huge thumbs up. Tim, and I can never... I still don't know whether you're being sarcastic or not when you were calling that one of the great speeches of American cinema.
I love that speech. It brought tears to my eyes.
I really, really like that movie. That movie has intrigue and love and mystery and adventure.
Hold on just a second. I defy anybody to tell me whether Tim's being serious there. I mean... I honestly don't know. And you have that weird mercurial smile on your face that doesn't give anything away. I can't tell what... I still don't know if you're serious or not.
And Will Smith says goodbye to his wife and calls her chicken leg.
See, or do you really like that or do you find it stupid? I can't tell.
I was amazed by it.
Chicken leg?
Stop it. Now you're just screwing with me.
Yeah, the dolphin ring with her stripper girlfriend is really kind of tacky.
Yeah.
That whole storyline's
the thing about Tim sometimes is, Tim is like one of those photographs that you look at, and depending upon when you look at it, it's either a picture of a white candlestick, or it's a picture of two faces kissing. And you can't really tell, and it changes sometimes. It's like one of those weird, Tim's like one of those magic eye paintings. You can't quite tell what's really there sometimes. I'm just going to assume that you like it, because apparently everybody does but me.
That's fine.
All right. Don't call about Independence Day. Don't call, don't email.
Well, I can play the speech again.
You can email. No, no. Is that when I'm being punished for something?
You know where else I've heard that speech? On the top of the hour ID during Independence Day? On KXL.
Is that true, really?
No, TEX, I'm sorry. Yeah, they use it for their top of the hour ID on Independence Day.
Really? Well, that doesn't surprise me. I guess that shouldn't surprise me at all.
Yeah, Mike and Ike Shore, wherever he's on.
No, it's really good. I shouldn't know. It's not my... I don't want to knock those guys. I don't want to knock whatever they're called. Whatever that afternoon show is, I don't want to knock them. There is a paucity. There is a real lack of live and local radio programming in this city. So, you know what? I admire anybody that is doing a live and local radio talk show. It's not always something I would choose to listen to, ever. Even if my family was being held somewhere and executed one by one. That's okay. Doesn't matter. Hey, it's 6 minutes of... Jesus, it's like 8 minutes now and 38 seconds after the hour. I've done the intro. After the hour 11 of this month of May in the year of our Lord, 2007. Thank you for coming by, making it part of your listening day, my chums. It's the Rick Emerson radio program live from the plushly appointed yet not overly ostentatious studios of AM 970 Solid State Radio. Why, hello. It's 503-733-2970. If you'd like to join us today, 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. Here they come. Look right now. Like 50 emails already. How could you not like Independence Day? You are bad American, Rick Emerson. And phone calls. The first bank of phone calls all about Independence Day. Thanks.
Thanks, Scotty. I appreciate that.
I got a little surprise for you. I'll fix your little red wagon. All right. I don't even know where we are now. Well, hi, it's the Rick Emerson Show, and we're live here in Portland. It is Wednesday, and welcome to Day 12. Here's what's coming up today. I'll get these goddamn Independence Day calls in just a second, and then we'll be done. Done! Never talking about it again.
Rick's Chemical Romance?
Yeah, talking about Rick's Chemical Romance last night. I got a whole page of concert notes. And here's the thing. You may think to yourself, I don't care about Rick's My Chemical Romance concert notes because I wasn't there. But these are applicable to just concerts in general. Now, I've retired some of my observations about concerts because a lot of them I sort of, I don't want to say immortalized, but I sort of put them in stone in Bigger Than Jesus. There's a section in Bigger Than Jesus where I talk about, you know, the things you see at every concert. And that's just, that's sort of a thing. So I don't make those observations anymore. I've sort of made them on the record once forever. And so I sort of retired a lot of that bit. But I do have a page of other, of new concert observations, which you will find gripping. So we'll get to this. So we can see My Chemical Romance and The Bled last night.
Not so much The Bled.
Not The Bled. I like to think that I've got it down to a science where I can show up 45 minutes late and not have to hear one note of the stupid opening band. Because it's always just the Schmuck Sisters, right? There's some band you don't care about. When is the last time you... You know, I'm going to say this and then people are going to call. So I'm not even going to ask. I'm just going to say, very rarely do you ever go and you're like, that opening band was spectacular. Because those days are past. Because now bands, I think, consciously choose opening acts that are either terrible, see George Carlin, or so different from the headlining act, like last night, where there's just no possible way that you're going to discover something interesting. So, screw that. We'll talk to Lisa Goddard today. Can I just tell you this little thing about Lisa Goddard? Now, I realize that what I'm about to say may sound crazy and stalky. I may sound like one of those guys who used to show up in the KWJJ lobby claiming that Mike and Amy were sending him secret messages. I am going to read you this from the CNN prep sheet for Lisa Goddard today. Lisa Goddard is available from Capitol Hill, blah, 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 blah. Just, and, you know, we get this every day where it tells us, because not everybody's on the job every day. Because some of the people take time off or they're traveling or whatever. Lisa Goddard is available to discuss the following stories. Senate, immigration, Iraq, Congress, Alberto Gonzalez testimony, blah, blah, blah. And then, listen to this. It is controversial and complicated. It says about this Lisa Goddard story that we can discuss, but it could also change America. As the immigration debate engulfs Congress, CNN's Lisa Goddard is looking between the lines for things you might have missed, starting with a plan for the English language. Now, where did we hear that observation first made? Who was the first person to bring up that business about the English language clause in the immigration bill? To which Lisa Goddard said, you know what? You're the first person to bring that up. I hadn't thought about that. That's right. It was me, Rick Emerson. And so now the entire country benefits from my laser-like precision, from the ability that I have to cut to the chase, to peel away the outer layers, to go right to the heart of an issue.
Yeah, you're right. You sound crazy.
Well, anyway, I'm just saying.
Are you really that full of yourself?
No, no, no. I'm just saying. Well, look, I'm not.
Are you going to ask her when you have
her? Nodding his head. I'm not. I'm just saying, look, I mentioned it. And when I mentioned it last week, she said, you know what? I hadn't noticed that. Nobody else had thought about it. Now, it's right here on the CNN prep sheet. And she's saying something you might have missed if you were not Rick Emerson. What else? Well, that's Steve Castamont. Find out about these guys who were missing in Iraq. And I guess they were looking for four. Now, I think, sadly, they're probably just looking for two because I think they found another one. They found the body of another one of these missing guys, so that sucks. We'll talk to Jim Roop on a lighter note about this big Star Wars thing. It's not that I don't care about Star Wars. It's just that I've decided not to care anymore. In other words, I will continue to care as my life goes on, but my level of interest in Star Wars has now peaked. It is plateaued. It's not that I'm not going to care about future Star Wars events, but I'm not going to care any more than I do now. The amount I care about Star Wars right now today, which is to say, you know, it's an important thing and it's great and it's wonderful, but I'm not that invested in it now at this point in my life because George Lucas just spent the last 10 years kicking me in the sack. The amount that I care about Star Wars right now, it is at stasis. It's exactly how much I'm going to continue to care about Star Wars. So I will talk about this because it's what I do, but I'm not really going to care that much about it. So if you're anticipating me talking to Jim Roop and getting all excited about it, that's not going to happen. What else? We'll talk to Cross Country Nate. We are plotting out his family's trip across America. They're doing a whole huge circle. They're doing a big, like a road trip. They're going from here, hitting Wisconsin, doing a big loop back through the South, I think, and then back to here. And so we are plotting out his trip stop by stop. So we'll talk to him a few minutes later on today. What else? Darwin Watch. We'll try to get to the top five and so forth. It's 503-733-2970. We are joined today, as are we always, by the lovely and talented Sarah X. Dillon. Why, hello.
Hello.
Now, wait, what time did you get home last night? Because you bicycled in, which is impressive. I did not expect you to bicycle today because I thought you'd be out last night, I don't know, drinking or hollering.
I went out and had a couple drinks last night. But no, I had probably like one. I'm really mad at myself, though, because we went out for drinks afterward. My friend Mike, you know, works with my chemical romance, so I met up with him. And then I had a hot dog and I ate some cheese fries at like 1 o'clock in the morning.
You know, do you realize how lame that sounds? And here's when I say lame, here's what I mean. A lot of people, I'm so mad at myself, and it's because they drank an entire bottle of Seagram's and they ended up sleeping with a hockey team or something. And for you to, I am so mad at myself. I had cheese fries. Really? Relatively speaking.
I had cheese fries in the row when I watched Alias. It was very exciting.
Some of your problems and failings are so small, I think it's just to invite contempt from people who have real problems. That's all I'm saying. It's the only observation.
I'm sorry. I've been sitting here listening to you gripe for years about all the things that you eat. And I can't say in one night that I'm a little mad at myself for eating an entire thing of cheese fries.
I just have to say the best moment last night, and not really, but what a fantastic moment was when I really stepped in it with your boyfriend or whatever he is. Because we got together at a bar before we went to see My Chemical Romance. We were there at this bar, and the Utah Jazz are playing. And I didn't realize what a colossal Jazz fan he is. I guess he lived in Utah for a while.
For a long time.
Yeah, so the Utah Jazz are playing. And, of course, because of the Utah Jazz, they suck. And I don't really follow sports all that much, but they are just getting their asses handed to them because that's what they do. And sometimes the Jazz will get just caught, and this is the last time I'll talk about sports today, but the Jazz will get just enough that they can feel the victory, and then it's cruelly snatched away by an angry God. And so, man, they were just getting pummeled. I mean, I guess they pulled to within 10 before losing. But they were down by like 20.
Okay, you don't need to heckle.
They were down by like 20. And no, because I didn't realize what a big Jazz fan he is. So I walked in and I said, oh, hey, the Jazz. Oh, and look, they're losing. Yeah. And I gave like a little low fist pull in the air.
Oh, you did? I was in the bathroom.
Oh, no, you were gone. You were gone. I walked in and there's Raul and
Endis. Awkward.
Well, I didn't know. And I'm like, yeah, the Jazz are getting crushed. Hoo-wah! You know, and I'm so happy. And he just gave me the stink eye. And he's like, what's your problem? And I said, oh, I hate the Jazz. I said, I hate the Jazz with everything in me. And then unprompted, this is the best part, unprompted, unbidden for no reason, I then began to recite where I was on one of the happiest days of my life, which is in the championship of 1997.
Oh, I've heard about that championship.
The 97 championship, when the Bulls, in the course of 30 seconds.
When Michael Jordan broke his heart.
Yes, it was so great. In the space of 30 seconds, Jordan not only stole the ball, but then dribbled up and did what I think in retrospect, my memory may be failing me, but he stole the ball, and about 12 seconds later did a three-point shot that went in, and sealed the whole thing. And I think Stockton did some horrific mid-court, like Hail Mary pass. It didn't work at all. Didn't work. Big idiot, redneck Karl Malone, started weeping like a small child. It was one of the happiest days of my life. I can remember where I was. I can remember the weather outside.
Why does that make you happy?
Because I hate the Jazz.
I hate their name.
All right, well, in any event.
Yeah, so anyway,
yes,
Raul's very into sports.
Yeah, well, try to pick a better team to root for, friend.
They made it to the playoffs.
Uh-huh, and then they lost. Tim Riley's working on the following stories for your edification.
Well, I got this invitation to a cadaver exhibit.
Cadaver?
Yeah.
Oh, wait, no, I wasn't even prepared. I didn't even know. Cadaver?
I barely knew her.
We all got invitation. I don't mean to.
And it's sponsored by Movement.
I'm so excited.
Really?
Yeah. And I asked the Movement girl, I said, is this going to gross me out? She goes, well, people have been known to pass out.
We should tell her we're talking about there's this Body Worlds exhibit coming to OMSI. Mm-hmm. And this is one of the cool things about working here. I don't like to be the guy who like brag about the cool stuff we do. But, you know, sometimes we get to see stuff in advance. And OMSI has a pretty good relationship with CBS. So we have been invited to go, before it's even open to the public, which is cool. They have invited all of us, the entire show, to go do a private VIP tour of this Body Worlds exhibit at OMSI.
I know what you're going to say, the best part.
And the best part is it's followed by a continental breakfast.
No, I think it's continental breakfast during.
Continental really? Breakfast will be served.
How gross is that?
Look at these kidneys, scone. So that's fantastic. Tim, will you be going?
Come on, Tim, let your curiosity get the better of you. The girl from Movin', the promotions gal, I asked you about it. She said people have been known to pass out.
Yeah, and vomit. In Denver, they tried to ban it in Denver. Some people fainted in Britain.
Oh, some German guy put it together, so they're good at gory stuff.
That explains
Dr. Gunther von Hagen has put this together.
Who?
Dr. Gunther von Hagen has put together this exhibit.
Genius. We have to refer to him that way the rest of the day. Fantastic. Yeah, it's a bunch of corpses that have been dipped in plastic. And so it's real
That's
bodies.
Weird. They look like chicken.
Well, yeah, they've had their skin taken off. And then it's, I'm not trying to gross anybody out. This is the exhibit. It's cadavers that have been dipped in plastic. It's like laminated cadavers.
Man, I don't know if I'm going to be able to handle
it. Oh, I'm all over that. Are you kidding me? I am all over. They've invited the whole show.
So Tim is putting his invitation
back in the bag and going to hand it to Scotty.
Okay. So are you opting out? You're not going to go?
I think I'll pass on this one.
Cadavers.
No, I think Scotty might enjoy
continental that. Breakfast.
I know that.
Free bagel.
Maybe there'll be bacon.
Oh, that'd be good.
Who wants prosciutto?
So Scotty, you can go in my place.
All right, so I'll RSVP for
Scotty. You can have Tim's cast-offs. Scotty is the pilot fish to Europe.
They don't allow you to put the invitation back in the envelope.
No, they don't. No, and they.
What are press credentials? Do we have those?
I don't know. I have a business card.
We have business.
It's inaccurate now, but it doesn't matter.
There's so few people working in the media. All it takes is a couple of phone calls.
Really, honestly, yeah. How many live DJs could there possibly be to invite? There's us, and then there's Doug and Skippy. I think that's pretty much it at this point. So, all right. Tim Riley's working on the following stories for your education today.
I am doing more here, aren't I? The Liberty University student who built bombs and planned to use them on Fred Phelps was stopped before committing the heinous crime. It's down to the wire at American Idol as Blake Lewis, the pride of Bothell, Washington, performs for the last time before the final voting. More cars are torched in Southeast today. Voices inside the head of a Kalama man tell him to blow up the town's police station.
And I have I don't know if it's true or not, but I have what purports to be the MySpace page of this guy that was going to blow up the Fred Phelps people.
So some of his people were there, but Fred Phelps himself was not.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, screw him. He didn't even care enough to go.
And the macaca guy showed up, too.
Oh, I wasn't prepared for that either. I wasn't prepared for anything. Hold on. Wait, hold on. Where did that go? Where did my sounder for that go? Is that word ever going to be brought up again today? Is that word
macaca?
Cat.
No,
macaque.
It only wants to play the last syllable of that sometimes. I don't know why
that's all there is.
Macaque.
All right, fantastic. I was there with, never mind.
Stop.
I'm overplaying it.
Yes.
All right. Let's see. Well, let's, hi, Rick Emerson Show. Hello. Hello.
That's totally me. Sorry.
Were you just talking about the bodies exhibit there just before?
Body World 3. Electric Booga Z. Yes.
That's an awesome show. I saw that in Seattle.
Yeah, I heard it's pretty cool. I don't know if it's hype that people pass. Like, they always say that about that Chuck Palahniuk thing. Chuck Palahniuk raided Borders and 15 people collapsed. And I always think that it's just that's hype. It's jive, as they say. But this does seem pretty badass.
It's not gruesome in any way. It's more scientific.
See? There you go, Tim. It's science and technology. It's cadavers of tomorrow today.
It's definitely worth seeing. You should go.
All right, fantastic. All right, so there you go. Here's the thing. If Tim, and I'm not pressuring him in any way, but if we come, it's what, the 6th? So if we come up now that week and Tim still doesn't want to go, it'll be Sarah and myself and Scotty. And then we'll just, maybe we'll auction off for charity the chance to pretend that you are a member of the press. And then you can go and you can scam them.
Whatever happened to the days of the puppet shows that we used to voice?
Oh, you mean at OMSI?
Oh, you mean
the Money World exhibit?
Whatever happened to that?
It's on tour somewhere. The Money World exhibit, which was at OMSI and which was designed by our good friend Amanda, that was voiced by Clyde and Tim and Sarah. And it's now on tour somewhere. And how weird is that? It's going to tour for a decade. You guys could all be dead, and your voices will still be coming out of big, like, animated dollar bills.
That's...
Hello, I'm Benjamin Franklin. Or, you know, whatever it's... I'm a coin. Or whatever it is you were saying for that. All right. I don't even know why people are calling. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. The love of Christ. Hello.
Good morning. My name is LaShondra Ashby, and I'm with Blake Wilkerson, a national opinion research company, calling on behalf of Quest.
Mm-hmm.
May I please speak to the person who was recently in contact with Quest regarding a repair?
Oh, yes. Hold on a second. Now, you are calling on behalf of, Quest Telephony. You are calling to look for the person who said that things were working improperly.
Yes.
All right, yeah. Does it say on the, does it have a name listed there?
I sure do not. We just have Joanne McCord. I say account.
Oh, you know, I believe you may, in fact, be calling the wrong number. Here's the thing. I'm going to put you on hold. I'm going to have somebody else talk to you here.
All right,
hold on. Scotty, can you talk to whoever this is on two? I was about to, she was about to be made, Scotty, can you pick up two, please? Not even that. Scotty comes on the screen. Don't take on-screen calls, then. Fair point. I can't really argue with that. Touché.
We should. We have to break away from somebody at 11:30.
I know, and I haven't gotten to anything. I haven't gotten to My Chemical Romance. We haven't talked more about the corpses. I haven't unveiled this surprise for Scotty, who's full of sass today for some reason. All right. Well, do we have to break? God damn it! All right. Well, hello. It's the Rick Emerson Radio Program. All that coming up, plus lots more. You stay there. The AM 970 Noon News Hour at noon. Don't go anywhere. Back after this. Criticism, maybe. All right, then. Hello, it's the Rick Emerson Radio Program. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. We're completely on time. We are on schedule today, to which there's nothing done. I haven't accomplished anything. I've accomplished lots.
Let's hear some more thoughts on Independence Day.
Shut up. We got to hear Tim saying Gunter, or whatever that guy's name was, 15 times, which is fantastic. Every time he said it. My only question is, there's no reason for Independence Day to be abbreviated ID4. That doesn't make any sense. That sounds like an abbreviation for a sequel that doesn't exist. You know it's a bad movie, by the way, because they never made a sequel to it. That's how you know it's secretly a bad film. Even they know that no one would see such a sequel. That's all I'm saying. It's the last thing I'm going to say about it. And we're done. 503-733-2970. Still to come, CNN radio correspondent Lisa Goddard. Later on, CNN radio correspondent James Roop. We'll do the top five, the noon news hour, and all that. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show from New York City. Our good friend, CNN radio correspondent and man of the world, Steve Kastenbaum. Steve, how you doing, man?
Pretty good. How are you?
I am okay. Hey, let me ask you this. Have you seen this exhibit that goes around, this the Body Worlds 2 or 3 or whatever exhibit? Have you seen that or covered it at all?
You're talking about the bodies?
Yeah, where it's like the plasticine. I think that some British guys did it. It's the plasticine cadavers or whatever. Have you seen that?
Actually, I went to the unveiling of that about a year ago or something like that here in New York, and it's weird.
Wait, was it? Did you find it unsettling? Did anybody pass out or whatever?
Some people who came up to see it for that first time did find it a little, you know, not too pleasing. But to me, you know, because the bodies were. I guess they put some food coloring in it a little bit or something like that to make certain body parts stand out above right. others. It looked like they were almost mannequins.
So you know, like a bright green liver?
Yeah, and actually they did things like that, yeah. So you could see which parts were where, but it was really odd. I mean, they used these bodies that were donated from China, and these were individuals who signed releases before they passed away, agreeing that their bodies could be used this way, and some of them died from things like lung cancer or heart disease, and so they used their body parts to show you, the person who goes to see the exhibit, you know, what happens to your body when you smoke. Like, they have, like, a lung, literally, a diseased lung side by side with a healthy lung.
I think in China, donating your body is sort of a relative concept from what we've heard in the news lately. Isn't China the place where, like, they're... I don't know, if you need a transplant, like a kidney or something, they just, like, get some prisoner, they take him out back and just take out one of his kidneys?
It's big business there. You can actually sell your body parts.
Jesus, it's weird. Hey, real quickly before we move on here, what is this? Is it wildfire in New Jersey out? Was this 17,000-acre wildfire or whatever? When is,
Yeah, it's been out for a while, but the governor is calling on closing this gunnery range that exists in southern New Jersey, which is actually kind of interesting because New Jersey is so built up, there's almost no open space anymore.
I didn't know there was 17,000 acres of anything to burn there. I mean, I thought it was all just concrete and bullet casings.
And lots of suburban complexes, right? But there's a protected area in southern Jersey, the Pine Barrens, and actually I think it was featured in one of the Sopranos episodes. They buried a body there or something like that. And these Air National Guard F-16s use it for target practice, essentially.
That seems like a bad idea.
Very bad idea. In fact, before this fire happened, about a year and a half or 2 years ago, an F-16 accidentally strafed an empty elementary school.
I remember that story from a couple years back. I remember that story. I mean, I'm going to be laughing at it, but I remember, you're right, it was about a year and a half we were doing this, and it's like, so weird for them to report about some guy was, you know, didn't know what the funny building was down there and just opened fire, and it turned out it was some elementary school that had abandoned Jesus. It's just a terrible thing. Hey, let me, I mean, there's just no way to talk about this thing without it being a big buzzkill, but I know initially in Iraq, there were these 4,000 troops who were looking for these four guys, and then they started making it that they were looking for three guys, and now do they think that they found another body? Do they think now it's just down to two who might still be alive?
Well, there are Iraqi officials who are telling CNN that they believe that one of these bodies, this body that was found in the Euphrates River, might be that of one of the men who's gone missing. But the U.S. has yet to confirm that. None of our sources are telling us that as well. What we do know is that the body that was pulled out of the Euphrates River was dressed in military-issue pants. At least the pants that the body had on were Army pants. So other than that, they really aren't able to make any sort of visual identification other than the fact that the body has a tattoo on it somewhere. But they weren't able to establish any sort of identity just through appearance. So the body may actually be flown back here to the U.S. so they can do some DNA testing, presumably, to find out if it is indeed one of the three missing men.
Here's a really dumb question. If they don't get these other two guys back, I mean, God forbid, or, you know, even now where it looks like at least one and perhaps two of them have already been found dead, these guys who these American guys who were dragged off by some dead enders, as Donald Rumsfeld used to call them. And a dumb question is, I mean, there's really no way to, there's no retaliation we can really do for that, right? Because A, we're already kind of over there bombing everything, and B, we wouldn't even really have any idea who did it. I mean, there's no, you know, you sort of immediately want kind of a reprisal against whoever it is that did this, but it's not really not possible, is it?
Really, it really is hard to zero in and focus on individuals who may have actually committed the act. I mean, you might remember a while back when some contractors were ripped out of their trucks and killed and then hung from a bridge in a city in Iraq. And, you know, they went in that area with force and tried to rout out some of the bad guys. But it's really, you know, again, Iraq before the war was a city of 24 million people. I mean, even if half fled the city, let's say, which is not the case.
Right.
But let's say only half of those people are still in Baghdad. You know, it's still a huge number of people. How do you find out which ones are responsible for snagging these guys? Covertly, you know, they're obviously trying to figure this out, and they have their intelligence agents out and about in Baghdad, and they're digging for dirt on this, trying to find out who's responsible. But you know, even that can sometimes be unreliable, and one group rats out another group. You think you have a reliable source, and then you find out later that the information was wrong.
All right. Well, there's just no good resolution to this at this point, one way or the other. So, all right, well, I hate to end on such a downer, but it's just the way the news rolls sometimes.
All right. You can end it on an upper if you want.
Do you have something exciting?
It's Fleet Week in New York.
Hurrah. All of us in Portland are very excited about that. Steve, thanks.
Okay.
All right. Thank you, my brother. We'll talk to you soon. Enjoy the rest of your day.
Take care.
There you go. Steve Kastenbaum in New York City. Fantastic. 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. All right. We got a few minutes for Lisa Goddard. Hey, Scotty, does she call, like, right at 11:45, or does she call early? In other words, do I have time to... do I have time to do something else here? All right, well, in fact, we'll just...
Scotty J, this is David Cassidy. I don't know what else to say, except...
You're not going to amount to death, squad!
Please help, Scotty.
End of message.
Scotty J, why, hello there, and how are you today?
Well, I'm doing great, all right, Rick.
All right. Now, are you hungover today?
No. You know what?
Are you wearing a Hard Rock Cafe shirt from Puerto Vallarta?
Yes.
Did you get that at the Hard Rock in Puerto Vallarta?
My wife did.
All right, okay. Is there a Hard... Well, I guess there must be. Never mind that. I was going to... You really... I mean, look, I know that I'm no fashion plate, but seriously, sometimes it really is like I'm just talking to a guy who's in 1988. It really is. From the Swatch Watch to...
This is not a Swatch Watch.
No.
This one's a
Are you wearing
one.
Gold jewelry?
Today
okay, I'm sorry. I'm starting to sound really gay. I
moved over
this,
to gold today. I normally wear silver and gold.
You're wearing gold bangles.
He's wearing... That's what I'm saying. Do you see
bangles?
This? He's wearing a gold watch.
It's a poker chain.
A gold... What is a poker chain?
Most of the guys at the poker table wear these. Real poker players.
Like Gabe Kaplan. Are you modeling yourself on Gabe Kaplan now?
Yeah, speaking of that, I got to get a hold of him.
Yeah. Okay, first of all, I don't even know what I was going to talk about. Here's the thing. So you're wearing the Hard Rock Cafe...
I'm orange out.
Shoes with flames on them. You wear a Swatch watch about half the time. It really is just all been like, I expect you to come in wearing like Gotcha clothing or something, or like TNC Surf Company clothing at some point.
One of those Izod gaiters.
Yeah. No, is that really called a poker bracelet?
No, not really.
Is that a name you've just given it? Is
yes.
that like a tennis bracelet? Are you trying to start a fashion craze with that?
Right.
All right. What were you talking? Did you say that you had seen the Body World thing? That's what I would have asked you.
No, I just saw pictures, and it looks to me like it's, a wax museum type.
A wax museum, those are typically made of, what's it called, wax.
But that's what they look like in the picture, like it's been dipped in wax or something.
When is the last time you saw a wax museum? When is the last time you saw, like, Madame Tussauds? I believe this is an entirely separate sort of creature here that we're talking about.
Yeah.
So, did you get your invitation, though?
Yeah, it should be laying.
Because you left this one here, and I think mine's in my locker.
Oh, I did. I put yours in. Do you ever check your locker? Do you ever look there?
No.
Okay, I put everything for you there. So, like, there's probably a whole pile of stuff sitting in there that maybe is, like, time-sensitive.
Okay.
So, all right. But are you going to be going?
I guess so.
All right, fantastic. All right, thank you, Scotty. All right, okay. We'll catch up with you later on. All right, there you go. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show from the Hill, CNN Radio correspondent to the stars, the one and only Lisa Goddard. Why, hello there, and how are you on this fine Wednesday?
Well, hello to you. How are you?
I'm dandy. Have you seen this, we're asking everybody this today, have you seen this Body Worlds exhibit that's going around the country where it's a bunch of plasticine cadavers?
Right, I know that it's either in Washington now or it's coming to Washington. It's on the side of all the buses now.
Yeah, Steve Kastenbaum has seen it, and it's coming to Portland. So we're all very excited about it. Apparently people faint by the dozens, so...
No, come on.
That's what we've heard. Now, I don't know whether that's what they used to call some jive or whether that's real, but we have heard that people need to be... In fact, look, I have this email here. We have this. Rick. Oh, this is from Jen. Rick, it is true the Body Worlds thing can make you queasy. I saw it a couple years ago in Los Angeles. Apparently there is... Now, you may want to turn down the radio for about 10 seconds if you don't wish to hear something that is a little unsettling. But this is the nature of the exhibit, apparently. She said, I saw it a couple of years ago in Los Angeles. There was a segment where there was a, quote... Radio's down if you're queasy. Quote, Tim is plugging his ears. There was an exploded man riding a corpse horse. She says, I had visions of Apocalypse Now, and I felt a little nauseous. I had to sit down. So there you go. Anyway, at the risk of being really morbid about it, it does sound pretty fantastic. It really does look, and the advanced press photos we've seen look pretty cool. So we're kind of canvassing people we know who have seen it. So if you happen to see it before we do, you'll have to let us know about it.
All right, I'll let you know. Yeah, I sort of have that weird Da Vinci kind of interest in it. I don't know. I think I'd like to see it.
Yeah, I got it. And I don't get, there's very few things that make me sort of queasy. I don't get, in fact, I'm trying to think of... Like, I was watching that thing on the Discovery Channel, The Most Dangerous Catch or whatever it is, where it's like the reality show about the Alaskan fishing boats. And this, I know people who have to take, like, Dramamine if they just want to watch something like that. And I was trying to think that I don't think there's anything that really makes me nauseous. I can't really think. I mean, I have a pretty strong stomach for stuff like that, so we'll be...
That's a good thing. That's nice.
I know you're kind of under the gun today because you're doing...
I meant to talk about this off-air. I'm not. I can talk as long as you want today, but there has been concern in the CNN newsroom that I've been cutting it a little close on those top of the hour newscasts when I talk to you guys. But I don't even have one today. But they are cracking down on all kinds of rules today. There's a bunch of stuff the correspondents have been told we need to do on the checklist, and I think KCMD. You guys are on that checklist, and if I have a top of the hour live shot. I've got to be better about letting you know that I need to go. But I don't today.
Somebody's passing along an order. Let me ask you this. Now,
bosses are so weird. I mean, I think Laura, my boss, is trying to be very protective, which is a good instinct for a correspondent.
One way to characterize
Laura's your
that,
boss?
I suppose.
Laura, yeah.
Lisa has no boss. Lisa is a captain of her own destiny. Lisa has advisors. That's what Lisa has.
She is in the afternoons. I would say she's my boss.
Okay.
I would say it's a confusing hierarchy. I'm not really clear on it. I being low on the totem pole, and in Washington, I don't have to pay too much attention to it. They're pretty good to me.
Well, she does have a
She does have a...
would you say a distinctive personality, Sarah?
She's become much more delightful ever since she got married.
Draw your own conclusions.
Yeah, you see that side. I think that side has always been there. I've seen it, you know, but now it's true.
All right, well, in my own defense, I think sometimes...
When Laura pulled me aside today and asked me about it.
And I think sometimes, in our own defense, we don't always know that you had top-of-the-hour news shots. I think
that's what I told her. I just got on the phone with her and I said, hey, you know, I'm bad. I sort of let it just go and go, and I kind of cut it too close. So
yeah.
That's on my end as anywhere.
All right, well, we'll kind of get to it today just to sort of kind of keep ourselves in fighting trim, as they say. Let me ask you this. Now, this is, I know, I already ran this by Sarah, and she said that it made me sound like a creepy stalking guy who thinks, it makes me sound like one of those people who used to show up on our radio station lobby insisting that we were sending secret messages that only they could hear. I don't think it's quite to that level.
Are you?
No. Right. But I do have to say this. Now, I pulled a CNN prep sheet today, and you're talking about this little clause in the immigration bill.
Yeah.
You know, there might be this might it wouldn't mandate English as a national language, or would it? And I mean, because that's the thing that I had mentioned to you, and right. we were talking about that nobody'd really been talking about it. Nobody had mentioned that.
Right.
So I don't know whether that's what spawned this or whether you were already investigating it, but it is kind of interesting. Would it make it a law? Does anybody even know?
It would make English, the phrase is the common language. Now, that doesn't necessarily have any bearing on what's printed at the DMV for you, but it does say that the United States should do nothing essentially to downgrade the role of the language, and in fact the United States should do everything to enhance the role of English. So if any federal agency, for example, were to move from English to another language, that would go against this law. It essentially says everything should be offered in English. It doesn't put it in those words, but that's most likely the effect of this. But saying it's a common language is not as strong of a statement for those who like this idea as saying it's a national language. And what's really interesting, after looking into this, last year there was a vote on this exact same issue, and in the immigration bill, which ultimately failed. But at the time, more senators voted to make English the national language than voted to make it the common language. So it does seem that this is very likely to be amended, and by the time this bill winds its way through this digestive tract, to use the body exhibit reference, it probably will end up having English as a national language. There's a strong chance that it will.
Now, do you give that, and it sounds like you do, if they were to try to make English a national language, which, by the way, I should say, for the record, big bleeding heart that I am, I have no problem with that. I just think that, sort of like computers, you know, one operating system makes things a lot easier than 15.
All the Mac callers are dialing in.
And I know that people make that observation. They will say it's part of our, you know, it's part of the cultural richness and diversity, which is fine. I don't have any problem. You know, I don't think anybody has any problem with anybody having mastery of more than one language. And in fact, I would say in America, just if I may put forward a slice of personal philosophy very quickly, I would say two things are true. I would say if you want to be successful linguistically, in a linguistic sense, the first thing you ought to do is learn English. And I would say my addendum to that is, if you really want to be successful, especially depending on where you live, you should be bilingual and you ought to learn Spanish. It to me is an abomination that we don't teach Spanish as a second language in every public school in this country. I don't know why we don't do that. I mean, you know, because it's not just California anymore. I mean, there are sections of this all over this country where if you don't speak Spanish, you are handicapped.
There are some states that have declared official state languages, which are English and another language, and it's not always Spanish. Louisiana has French as an official language. So I don't know what that does to the debate, but I'm just putting that out there.
That's interesting. So my question is, do you give this a fairly good, because people want to lump this in with things like flag burning, and I think it's a distinct and separate issue. Do you give this a pretty good chance of becoming law, though, if they just decided just to cut the Gordian knot and try to make it the official language?
If the immigration bill itself becomes law, I do think that this will become law. But I think this will be put into that package. But the immigration, all the other things in the immigration bill, it's funny, in any other year, this might be the big controversial issue. But because there's so much else in that bill, no one's really paying attention to this. But if the immigration bill itself passes, I think this will become law as well.
That's one of those things, and there's sort of two parts to my personality. There's the, you know, I got the big idealistic bleeding heart part that sort of looks at things in terms of what kind of country do we all want to live in. And then there's the part of me that just enjoys seeing people fight about stuff on television. So this sort of intrigues me on two separate levels here. I would ask you follow-up questions on this immigration business, but you know what? Let's be honest. I mean, this is just a big... just a big sausage factory right now there, and they're just the process of making this and agreeing on it and moving it forward is just going to be long and laborious and tedious and unpleasant, and I think I've had enough of that today. So,
well, the other thing going on today is, of course, Monica Goodling testifying before House Judiciary Committee. That's going on right now. She used to be the liaison between the Justice Department and the White House, and she's been granted immunity so that anything she says, essentially, about the U.S. attorney scandal, she can't be prosecuted for unless she lies about it, unless she is accused of perjury or convicted of perjury. But otherwise, she can say anything. And I have to say, I think Democrats have not found the smoking gun they were hoping to very early on. She said, to be honest, I was not completely in the loop. I didn't know who in the White House was making decisions. I don't know exactly why each of these U.S. attorneys were fired. But she did say, interestingly, that she was told specifically to stay out of hearings, stay out of different public events involving this story, because the Justice Department didn't want people seeing a connection to the White House, even though she testified that there clearly was White House involvement. She does seem like she is a Kool-Aid drinker, though, who is being honest about her experience, or seeming to be, but she says that the White House clearly was involved, but she doesn't think politics were involved, though she says she doesn't really know why some of these U.S. attorneys were fired.
When is that no confidence vote coming up?
Hey, how about that no confidence vote? We don't know when it's gonna happen. Democrats have backed down a bit on that for now.
Why does everything? I'm not blaming you. Why does every story you bring to me contain the phrase the Democrats are backing down on something? For the love of God!
Well, it's possible that they're, you know, perhaps in the best case scenario for you, looking for political mayhem and some kind of titanic,
yes,
Braveheart battle,
yes,
maybe Democrats are kind of aligning their forces and picking
that's not true.
Better ground and a better time. I don't know. In Memorial Day weekend, maybe they're waiting off that. But I will tell you that the Senate was thinking about having a vote this week. They may still. But we know that in the House, meanwhile, I think I told you yesterday, they've introduced a no-confidence measure. And within a single day, it has received 113 co-sponsors.
Excellent.
Well, on that no-confidence resolution. So that's 113 votes right now in the House that want Gonzalez out. So that may be moving forward even more quickly in the House now than in the Senate.
You know, they're so hapless. I think it's time to bring back the Whig Party. I mean, I think that's really where we are at this
point. Right.
Yes. All right. Pass along our I won't say apologies, but if you
yeah,
speak
Laura's
to her,
right by everybody. Yeah, I will.
If you speak to her before we do, let her know that we, as Cartman would say, we respect her authority, and we'll do our best to kind of keep things moving along smoothly.
I think that's wise.
I don't wish to cause friction.
nor do I. Boy, it's sometimes it's hard.
All right, Lisa Goddard. Enjoy the rest of your day.
Okay.
All right, there you go. That's Lisa Goddard on the Hill. Fantastic.
Who knew Laura wielded such power?
Here's the thing is, I don't...
Look,
we should stop this now.
Okay.
I don't want to cause any more trouble. Not because of Laura, but because I don't want to start the dogging on anybody at CNN, and then they take it out on, you know, like Lisa or Jim or whoever. I don't want to do that. It's not what Rick Emerson does. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hi, Rick.
What's up?
I was calling about the body display exhibit.
Yes, sir.
I've been following it for a while. The thing's been around for about 4 years. Started out in Europe, and I think the first city it played over here was L.A.
Uh-huh.
And they now have numerous of these shows. It used to be just one, and now there's various, like, different versions of Cats.
Right.
Or some Broadway show that goes around and plays. And I think one thing they've commented on is they've had so many people that have volunteered their bodies that have gone to the show and see it, and then they come out and want to have their body put in the display. So I think that's where they're getting a lot of the new bodies from.
That is so cool. I mean, we were talking the other day about how much I think it's only like $100 or something if you donate to OHSU. But maybe this is what Rick Emerson could do with his body once he's dead.
Well, imagine if they did it for other museums, like the Rock and Roll Museum.
Totally. Like
maybe if Kiss got in there, you could be Peter Criss or, you know, or whoever you like there.
And it's very telling that you wouldn't want the real Peter Criss at this point. You just want some other guy. All right. Thank you, sir.
Bye.
All right. There you go. I'm not going to read these emails about English and Spanish. There's just no point. And I don't care that much. It's 503-733-2970. We should probably break here. We'll break nya, and we'll come back nya with Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth. It's 503-733-2970. Coming up later on, CNN radio correspondent James Roop, Scotty J, the top five, and so forth. Don't go anywhere. Versus George 503 says, I'm saying, you're just making stuff up. I don't even think it says give it to me, Jim. Does it? I'm gonna have it, Jim.
No, he grunts in the back there. He's like, Jim.
All right, we have something now. 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Perhaps Tim has this in the news pile. I don't know. Maybe we have sound for this. But this more... I'm sorry.
All the sound has a blinking red warning light on it.
I'm sure that means something good. Usually a blinking red light usually means that something happy is happening.
Oh.
This morning in The View, Rosie got into it with Elizabeth Hasselbeck, the Scotty J of The View. I didn't watch it, but our newsroom was all abuzz. I guess it was a pretty heated debate, as much as you can assume that Rosie and Elizabeth can, quote, debate. It was, as they say, good television. All right, well,
whose newsroom was that?
That was a K2.
I do have the audio for that, Tim, if you want that.
Hey, it looks like the interwebs are back up. We're back here.
Okay, let me go through my bites here and bring these back to normal. And we better do them before it collapses again. And be okay. We're set to go.
Fantastic. Ladies and gentlemen, will you please put your working class hands together for the Reverend Tim Riley.
Time for the Rick Emerson Noon News Hour from AM 970 Solid State Radio. And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
The morning period continues for Les Schwab, the Pope of Tires. I swear to God, I thought you were talking about a menstrual story.
Me too.
Is your morning period?
Morning period.
No, this is about Les Schwab.
You don't have to suffer from morning period anymore.
No.
You're invited to his memorial service.
You? Yes, you.
The Tire legend himself. It's going to be on Thursday, May 31st. Now everything's playing. First nothing would play, now it's all playing. Let's stop it.
This is disrespectful to Les Schwab.
Yes. Let's talk about beef. All right, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Tim. So the morning, when you say we're invited.
Yes, everyone's invited.
Okay.
It's not just a press thing.
Oh, I see. So
it's not like an OMSI type of thing.
For everybody. Is it okay? Is it where?
Les Schwab's memorial service.
It's happening where, though?
At the Deschutes County Fairgrounds.
Really?
He's a big man. And,
takes a fairground to hold the legacy of Les Schwab.
That's fast.
Okay, well, there you go.
Maybe
so
he died recently.
Head on by and take a gander.
Well, we better get to these sound bites while we still have them.
Yeah, seriously, let's just play them all.
Let's play them all in
15 seconds.
Uh-huh. This, I guess, would constitute a religious nutcase watch.
Fantastic. Ladies and gentlemen, here's a religious nutcase watch for Wednesday, right here on the Rick Emerson Radio program.
Who told a family member he made bombs and planned to attend the funeral of Jerry Falwell was apparently upset that Fred Phelps' gang planned to protest at the funeral and, he was probably going to use them there.
And he was a student in Liberty?
Yeah, he was. 19-year-old Marky Yule
Said he wasn't planning to explode the bombs, though.
You'll never amount to anything.
Mm-hmm.
You'll be unsuccessful.
Fred Fithian, his stepfather, agrees.
I would be absolutely shocked if he had any other intent other than to play with them.
To play with
them. Playing with bombs.
These wacky kids. Wacky kids and their little death games. Yes, he's going to play with some bombs.
The Westboro Baptist Church has sent about a dozen protesters to the funeral.
The way that I play with that cheerleader I keep locked up in the steamer trunk in my basement.
I don't think you had a basement.
That's right, I don't. Oh. I don't know what you're talking about. I've made some additions to the house. first of all, here's how you know the Liberty College is a nutcase oppressive Christian place. It's called Liberty College.
And it's in a place called Lynchburg.
Exactly. Words like liberty, freedom, America, family, patriot, these are all only used by people who are opposed to such things. Secondly, really, and I mean this as a sincere, fair, honest question, I don't understand how you could be a student at Liberty, which is a Jerry Falwell college, and yet somehow be horrified by Fred Phelps. I mean, they're really just, one is on the inside, what the other was on the No, I've got a bet. You know what I'm saying.
Well, the Fred Phelps people now claim that Falwell was a friend to gays.
I'm sorry, what? My brain folded on
the myself. The Westboro
there.
Baptist Church sent a dozen members to protest across the street from the funeral, claiming Falwell was a friend to gays.
Yes, you can tell that by the way that he blamed him for everything and said that they were going to burn in a pit of fiery damnation for being evil sodomites. All right, well, whatever. So Fred Phelps himself wasn't even going to be there anyway.
No.
So he would have just, even if he'd done this, he would have just gotten some collateral damage.
A bunch of experts.
Yeah, so a bunch of extras. That's what it would have been. It was just a bunch of third man from the left. But they stopped him. Somebody sent me his MySpace page. The best part about it is there's a Will Smith song embedded. You go to his MySpace page and it's a whole lot of and then Will Smith begins to sing some terrible song. So there you go. So this guy's
stepfather, Fred Fithian, says they think it's a prank that might have gone too far.
We're a little shaken, surprised.
That's gone too far.
You know, hopefully when it's all done, it's just, you know, dumb things teenagers do, and that's what'll come out of it.
No, no.
The county sheriff of Campbell County said the investigation is
live. The ATF, FBI, and state police are all assisting in this because it's reaching out. We understand it's more individuals were involved.
All right, well, whatever. You know what? Being pulled behind a car on a skateboard is a dumb thing that teenagers do. First of all, when your son is old enough to go to college, he's no longer really classed as a teenager, in my opinion. And this is, face it, your son is crazy. Which you must have known because you're probably crazy, too. I mean, really, why would you be sending your kid to Jerry Falwell's University if you both hadn't eaten a lot of paint chips?
Where did graduates go after that? Who might hire these people?
I don't know. I don't have a clever answer prepared for that, but I really don't know. I honestly don't know the answer to that. You know, as strange as it sounds, probably law enforcement. I mean, and I don't mean cops. I mean probably like the FBI. You know, like a huge number of the FBI. Like there's a thing called the Mormon Mafia, which is they talk about a lot in Utah. Which is the FBI and the CIA are filled with Latter-day Saints because you know. Because they're clean and kind and honest and trustworthy and they're well scrubbed and they do everything the government tells them to do. So that's pretty much it. Same reason that here's a weird thing. You go to casinos.
Yes.
You go to casinos in Las Vegas. And I hate I'm not even stereotyping. This is just true. There's two kinds of people that you see working as dealers in casinos. Asian people and Mormons. That's it, man. Asians and Mormons. That's who works in casinos in Las Vegas, generally speaking. If you see a white man working behind you, dealing to you in Vegas, the odds are very, very good that he's a Mormon. And even though Mormons consider gambling to be a sin, they're considered extremely trustworthy. And, of course, it's right next to Salt Lake City. So I don't know how to explain the Asian thing. That's just one of God's great mysteries. It's one of the mysteries that God, that the Creator gave us.
No. So nobody running for president went to this funeral, and nobody big from Washington. However, U.S. Senator Gary George Allen, the macaca guy.
Sure.
Senator George Allen.
Oh, I'm sorry. He's the what?
Macaca. And then here's a name from the past. Remember the doorbell licking that had to do with Gary Bauer?
Yeah.
For president?
Bauer.
He was there.
All right.
Bauer.
Gary Bauer's the guy that...
This sounds so sexual. Gary Bauer's the guy who had his doorknob licked by Dan Savage.
Yeah. Oh, and Roy Moore was there. The Alabama judge who gained a national reputation for displaying the Ten Commandments. He was there.
How much more?
Roy Moore.
I'm laughing at things that don't even make any sense now, just because they sound funny. I'm going to go back to Dan Savage licking Gary Bauer's doorknob.
Yeah.
This is where Dan Savage, who writes the Savage Love column, boy, you want to talk about an interview I wish I could go back and do over. That interview just sucked. I was so bad. I was so bad when I interviewed
him. I didn't hear
Dan
it. I was in the hallway.
I was terrible. He was great. I was bad. Me and Kim Morgan in a room. She was pretty good. He was great. I just fumbled it. I did a terrible job in that interview. I wish I could go back and interview him again because he was funny. And his book is great. So he's actually got two books out now. I think he's got a third. No, that's not true. He has three books out. And I think he's working on a fourth one. What's my point? Blah, 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 blah. Dan Savage, who writes the Savage Love column, which is in the Mercury, worked for the Gary Bauer political campaign, and he had something like a head cold or a respiratory ailment or something, and so he went around licking doorknobs trying to get rid of the flu, which is, and I think they tried to investigate him for that.
Yeah.
Like, or they tried to prosecute him for germ warfare or something retarded. All right. Well, Scotty apparently isn't in the room. Typed on the screen. But where does Scotty go? When he says...
He cleans. He was in here cleaning the top of the racks this morning.
He's not in here. He's not cleaning now. He's just typed on the screen.
Racks earlier.
Be right back. Where is it, do you think, he goes? It's probably not in the restroom. He's probably going to have to use the bathroom because he would do that during the break, like a civilized person. Does he smoke during the show?
I don't know. I know he smokes always, like, the second the show's done. I wouldn't be surprised if he does.
Has anybody in this room ever seen Scotty smoking during the show, Tim?
I haven't, no.
Hi, Rick Emerson Show. How can I help you?
Hey, Rick. This is Daniel. You were asking where do Liberty students go to work?
Yes, yes.
Right now, the Bush administration has 25 or 30 of them working for us.
Why? You know, I should have just guessed. Why did I even have to have somebody answer that? I totally should have known that. Yeah.
The Goodling woman that just testified in front of the Congress and told all about the dirty tricks, she's a Liberty grad, too, so that tells you a lot right there.
It really does. All right, excellent. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir.
Fred Phelps wasn't there, but apparently his wife Cindy and a bunch of their kids were there. A bunch of the kids who haven't quit speaking to him because he used to bend them over a bathtub and beat them with a big club. Here's Tim Riley.
Last night was a big one in Bothell as the official Blake Lewis fan club, the Blaker Girls, hosted an American Idol viewing party for their hero at the University of Washington in Bothell. It coincided with the American Idol finals. The city of Bothell is rightly proud.
When Blake came home a couple weeks ago, we had a great time and we had a great response from the community, and everyone out here was excited for him.
There's plenty of excitement in Bothell.
We're not a sponsor, but we certainly support the Blake Lewis effort on American Idol, and so we're really excited to be a part of it.
So, the biggest competition is almost over. Blake kicked off the show last night with his rendition, and horribly done, Bon Jovi's You Give Love a Bad Name, which it didn't even have a guitar in it. It was bad.
I hate myself. Why are we even playing this? Is he from Bothell?
Bothell.
Mm-hmm. I don't even know where Bothell is.
Bothell's right outside of Seattle. I lived in Seattle. A bunch of friends lived in Bothell. It's more of the Fancy Pants area.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't sound all that upscale. Many Bothells died to bring us this information. There was just a long way to go to make a stupid Star Wars joke. That's dumb. And, you know, it's not that I'm not... Look, I'm not... I'm down with the kids and their hippity-hop and the beatboxing and the... But not every song requires you to beatbox it. I mean, that's kind of the giveaway that guy's just a one-trick pony. I mean, that every song they give him... I don't even watch the goddamn show.
It was an adequate performance.
Why am I talking? I suppose... That's what I mean. You know, that really is what succeeds in America, is adequacy.
Mm-hmm.
That really is what you aim for.
That's true. That gets you a recording contract.
And three Pirates of the Caribbean movies.
Oh, jeez.
All right, here's Tim Ryan.
Then Jordan Sparks.
Porn star.
Spelled J-O-R-D-I-N. Okay. Sparks. Brought down the house as she closed the show with this version of This Is Mine Now, a tune that won the American Idol songwriting competition.
Yeah.
stop that. Oh, my God. And I don't think that's just me, by the way. I think there's a whole nation crying out as we play that. It's just it's something in the tone. Just the timbre.
She's only 17 years old.
Yeah, that would explain a lot. There's a certain shrillness going on. The other guy's just dull. Here's the thing.
Dull is big in America. Don't knock dull.
Dull will get you a 15 share.
Yeah, it will.
And then after, never mind. I was about to make a joke about another radio program. But I'm not going to do that.
You've never heard the program.
We've made a vow not to make fun of other live and local radio hosts. Because that would be wrong. Except for Lars, who has a plastic ass. What was I going to say? Da-da-da-da-da-da. American Idol, which Scotty watches. But, you know, here's the thing. I don't even...
And I admit I watched it last night.
Now, did you watch it because you wanted to? Did you watch it because there was hype? Did you watch it because you wanted to see what the buzz was about?
I want to see what the buzz was about. Then there was another show after that I wanted to see that was kind of a letdown.
Oh, what was the other show?
I think it was On the Lot.
Oh, that's the Spielberg Mark Burnett show.
Unfortunately, it showed people writing a plot for a movie in real time. And I turned it off about 20 minutes into it. They were exchanging ideas sitting in the lobby of the Biltmore. They were writing a plot.
So,
let me go sharpen this pencil, and the camera can follow me all the way over as I walk. In about 20 minutes after that, it was time to leave.
And then there's just a whole lot of, it's Die Hard in a Zoo. No. Well, are those muffins fresh?
Then they began by lying that said the Biltmore was the birthplace of the Academy Awards, and it wasn't the Roosevelt was.
Yeah, bastards.
How stupid did they say? They count on American stupidity every time.
I mean, instead of American Idol, there just ought to be a show. I mean, I know Green Day's about the American Idiot, but there just ought to be a show called American Stupidity. Stupid, fat-ass American. We should start a television show called Pandering to Stupid, Fat-Ass Americans. Oh, yeah, Scotty's typing. By the way, draw your own conclusions from this. Scotty's typing all kinds of notes about last night's American Idol. Let's just real quickly.
I watch
Scotty J. This is David Cassidy.
Yeah, but you're exempt.
You're not going to amount to that squad.
Up, Scotty. You're exempt, Tim, because you were watching it for journalistic reasons and because there was another program coming on later. Scotty J.
How's it going?
You watched American Idol last
Yes.
night. All right. First of all, can I just make this observation about American Idol? I understand that it's not a rock and roll program. I understand it is a pop show.
But it was a rock and roll program a couple times with a couple of different guys.
No, it wasn't. No, it wasn't.
You got Chris Daughtry.
Well, Chris, that Daughtry guy or whatever, and what's his name?
That song Home, which is number one on the VH1 Countdown this week.
Right.
He is the most sick we can grow.
Here we are again talking about a show that all of us actively hate except for Scotty. Why do we do this?
Okay.
Anyway, well, whatever. Now, that Chris Daughtry guy, he's the most successful American Idol.
No.
Guy ever.
Carrie Underwood.
Oh, that's true.
No, I was thinking Kelly Clarkson.
No,
Kelly
she got
Clarkson.
Dropped by her label, though. She only ever had the one single.
She had two albums, and there were a couple of hits off of both.
Carrie Underwood, though, she won a Grammy.
Grammy, but Kelly Clarkson had, like, 8 number one hits on
her
album.
That's not true.
No,
is that true?
No, it is true.
Really?
Every single that she released after the breakaway went to number one.
Are we spending this much time talking about American Idol?
We can talk about it later, because I'd like to.
No, about American Idol. And we can talk about it now so we get it done.
Okay.
Okay, so...
Well, I have the sound bites.
So we should just wallow in it. I didn't know what did she? I hate to do this. What did she have behind since you've been gone?
She had since you've been gone behind these hazel eyes.
Moment like this.
Yeah, moment like this.
You were a tool.
A moment like this.
Yes, Sarah's allowed to know
Which
that. Why do you know that?
It was better than the Justin Guerini version.
Disneyland or a Sandals commercial thing. A moment like
and
this.
And how weird that she
because of you.
That she did that
because
she did that movie with Justin Guerini. All right, well, okay.
So she was
from Justin to Kelly or whatever.
Oh, I saw that. It was terrible.
And then Clive Davis kicked her to the curb, I guess. So, all right, so there's, okay, so, but here's the thing. I was looking at the USA Today yesterday, and just, what's his name, Blake and whoever, Jordan, just big, toothy smiles, and just looking so scrubbed and happy. And
right.
Just,
they do not look like that when they go through the
just
processes.
So polished. Just makes me want
to
vomit.
To get on the show, I don't know if there's, you know,
it gives me diabetic shock just to look at them.
By the time they get down to the last, you know, few episodes, they're all looking like stars in this.
Now, does
Kelly Clarkson.
Does he beatbox every song he does?
No, he doesn't, actually. And, you know, I'm not a huge fan of the guy, but he's got his own unique talent, so he's obviously going to go somewhere. He's going to sell albums. This other gal, Jordan, I thought she should have been out in the first 12. She
She doesn't have sports for a 17-year-old.
She's good for a 17-year-old, right? But she's not the number one top American Idol, and I think a lot of that is the teeny boppers in their votes with their cell phones.
Teeny boppers.
It's got to be...
with their poodle skirts.
Do you let your teeny boppers vote on American Idol, Scotty? Or do they tell you that they're doing so? They beg me to do it, and I'm like, no, it costs a buck, and, you know, the lawn needs to be mowed, so they don't do it.
So they only get a buck for every time they mow the lawn.
Way to crack down, Scotty. All right. And I know want to talk about this Melinda Doolittle thing, because I know everybody thinks she's great and whatever.
She absolutely was. She was a backup singer, I believe, on American Idol, if I got this correct.
Well, did she have a career before?
Yes, as a backup singer.
Well, that's stupid. You shouldn't be able to be an American Idol if you've already had a professional singing career.
I wouldn't call that professional. I mean, they're just doing a job.
Was she making a living as a singer?
Apparently so.
You shouldn't be allowed to be an American Idol if you're making a living as a singer. Well,
they're not famous yet, so this is a way to find, you know.
All right.
There you go.
All right.
So Simon Cowell had to apologize for a statement that he made about a week or so ago.
Here. Jordan, last week, I'm going to be honest with you, I didn't think you were good enough to make the finals. And I want to say to you publicly now, I was wrong. Because this is, in case we forget sometimes, it is a singing competition. Yeah. And you just wiped the floor with Blake on that song.
No. So the other reason I watched last night was to see the bandage on Paul Abdul's nose,
which
did not occur. There was nothing on her nose. Ryan Seacrest shocks the crowd with a joke about Paula discussing her nose injury. Remember, she tripped over her
Chihuahua.
Chihuahua.
Yeah. I'm just bruised. I tripped over my dog Tulip.
What's going on here?
Fine. So snoring.
So the is okay. All right, we got it.
So it was censored.
The bitch.
Yeah.
That's not going to play well with Middle America.
Well, it's funny because they said the bitch on TV,
and yet now they're bleeping it.
Yeah, for us. Like, we can't handle that.
Okay, but goddamn, I hate people. So this is from Metro, right?
Yeah.
A Westwood One company.
So they censored it. But it wasn't censored on TV.
Let me draw a little family tree for you here. So that was on Fox.
Yes.
And they aired the word, so the bitch was all right.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that is being censored by Metro News.
That's correct.
Which is a division of Westwood One.
Yeah.
Which is a company in which CBS, I believe, owns a controlling interest.
Yeah.
Am I right about that? There's some correlation there. They're not owned by CBS.
Yeah.
But in fact, I think they're for sale. But CBS has some controlling interest in
there
Westwood
One. There is a for sale sign in the window.
So effectively, in a roundabout sort of way, CBS is affiliated, because CBS is, their instinct now is just to suspend, cancel, or censor everything that airs anywhere.
Yes.
So they're censoring the word bitch, and the best part about it is that to the best of my knowledge, he was using it for a bit of a double entendre, but he was using it correctly.
Correct.
He was not even using it in the sense of a female.
Right.
He was using it in the sense of a dog. It's a goddamn scientific term.
I hate being all paranoid there.
Seriously, and of course there's going to be a lot of mouth breathing. Please just simulate the mouth breathing again. You know, just a lot of mouth breathing breadstick eaters out there. I don't know, right? The B word. I actually heard someone call it that the other day. I heard someone call it the B word, and this was not on like a. What we used to call in front of a mixed audience. This was like on a radio show like this. It's like I don't think it was the Corolla show, but it was a show like that. And somebody's like, well, you know, the B word, which is just, I mean, what kind of country are we living in? All right,
I don't know. Let's talk about Al Gore. He was on Larry King last night. We're done with American Idol.
Ka-chunk. Segue. All right, here's Tim Riley.
He sticks by his earlier claims that he's not considering a run for the White House.
I am not thinking about being a candidate. I have no plans to be a candidate. But yes, it's true. I have not made a so-called Sherman statement and ruled it out for all time. I see no reason or necessity to do that.
I'm sorry, I just fell asleep a little bit while he was talking there. So is he running or not?
No.
Okay.
As a matter of fact, the Republicans are smacking their chops at the very thought of a Gore-Obama ticket. That according to Maureen Dowd in today's...
Do we have sound on that?
No, because she's not on TV anymore since they took Imus off.
There's no outlet for her. And plus, well, like, and look what we have to be honest.
There's no more Maureen Dowd.
And here's the thing about Maureen Dowd. Maureen Dowd is, it's sort of the Al Franken syndrome. Maureen Dowd is, except that she's kind of hot, and Al Franken is not. The Maureen Dowd, and I'm unsure about whether she's hot or whether they just sort of make her up to look that way, but she is sort of, I find her to be a visually pleasing woman. Mm-hmm. It helps that she's just whip smart, too. Just freaking lightning smart. The thing about Maureen Dowd is like Al Franken in that on the printed page, funny, energetic, witty, fast-paced. And then, of course, you know, we all remember the hideous abortion that Al Franken show was. And where it was a lot of, and so anyway, I am making some ponderous, smarmy observations in my sleepy, infantile voice here on the Al Franken show, and I'm trying to be wry, but I really just sound pretentious here on the America. And that was it. And after about a year of that, and losing like $400 million, somebody finally hit the enough button. But the thing about it, Maureen Dowd's no better. God bless her. She's a great writer. But, man, when she would be on IMUS, and she has, I don't know what the thing is. It's like she doesn't, it's like her mouth has been sealed shut with something. And that all the words when Maureen Dowd talks, I wish I could find audio. When Maureen Dowd talks, it's like the words all have to come out of, like, breathing holes in the front of her face. Not even out.
Oh, like what Michael Jackson has?
Yes, exactly. Not even so much that she's speaking through her nose, which is sort of a nasal thing like this. It really is just
from New York.
It's like she has gills or something in the front of her face, and the words are just sort of escaping out of the front of her face like this. And it's sort of like when you hear guys who, it's like when Christopher Reeve would kind of talk. That's sort of what Maureen Dowd, we're spending a lot of time talking about Maureen Dowd.
Yeah, she's sure. Not even on TV anymore.
I was going to say, and you know what? And most people don't know who she is, and the people who do probably don't care to hear us discuss her speaking voice. Let's move forward. Here's Tim Riley.
Well, John McCain is out picking on Mitt Romney again for hiring illegal aliens to do his yard work, as well as Romney's claim that he's a lifelong hunter.
Maybe his solution will be to get out his small varmint gun and drive those Guatemalans off his lawn. I don't know.
You can't say that. All right. Well, there you go.
Well, CBS didn't hear that one.
I was just going to say, you can't use the word bitch, but you could talk about shooting Guatemalans on your lawn, apparently.
Different.
FYI.
All right. A nationwide poll of Muslims living in the U.S. finds there is some support for militant Islamists, but most reject their actions. The Pew Research Center has determined about a quarter of the poll's respondents believe suicide bombings carried out in the name of Islam can be justified to some extent. The president of the Free Muslim Coalition, Kamal Nawash, says it's time for positive news.
I was pleasantly surprised when I heard that 80% basically rejects all violence, rejects extremism. You know, it kind of vindicated many Muslims who said, hey, there's a silent majority out there who rejects all this craziness.
Okay. A lot of edits in that, too.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we should probably take a break here. We got the bottom of the hour. Take a break, come back. More of Tim Riley ahead with the AM 970 Noon News Hour. Later on, we have seen a radio correspondent, Jim Rupa, will be joining us to do the top five. And we'll do concert notes from last night's My Chemical Romance show. A little bit more with Scotty J, whether he knows it or not. Scotty J, people judge you by the words you use. Back after this. See you, stay right there. It's the Rick Emerson radio program. It's 503-733-2970. It's the Rick Emerson, the radio program. Come out of later on, we got CNN radio correspondent James Roop. Also, the top five. I do some concert notes from last night. I guess I got a bunch of other things. I don't even know. We're almost halfway through the show. I have no idea what we're going to answer today, what we're not. So I'm not going to make any promises. Ladies and gentlemen, the Reverend Tim Riley.
I have some breaking Kelly Clarkson news that just came over. She may be feuding with Clive Davis, but she's got nothing but love for American Idol. Kelly and all the winners of seasons past will be performing at American Idol tonight for the season finale. That'll be Clarkson, Ruben Studdard, Carrie Underwood, and Taylor Hicks. Heading to the Ford Theater But Fantastic Burrito won't be, since she's headlining Oprah Winfrey's production of The Color Purple on Broadway.
Fantastic Burrito. There ought to be a sandwich they serve somewhere called a Starter Reuben.
And Gladys Knight will perform Midnight Train to Georgia with the top six female finalists.
Let's talk about a song I never need to hear ever again. Midnight Train to Georgia.
Even on the midnight train.
Who did I see? Who did I see a while back? That it's never going
to. Oh, Smokey Robinson's going to be there too.
American Idol has this knack for picking. I mean, it's just as well, because then I don't have to watch it. They have this knack for picking artists I couldn't possibly care less about. I mean, I know they had Jon Bon Jovi on and whatever, but it's
Sanjaya is duetting with Joe Perry.
Are you kidding me?
To the Kinks, You Really Got Me.
All right, well,
how did you not watch that?
Very easily. Watch, no hands. I will, with aplomb, I will not watch that. Because the great thing about the internet is I know that if anything really worthwhile happens, I will be able to see it edited down to its core base component the next day. That's the thing. If there's some fantastic, great moment, like Joe Perry, who was the guitar player from Aerosmith, if Joe Perry and Sanjaya have some, like, unbelievably amazing, groundbreaking, smoking version of that song, I know that within, like, an hour, it'll be on YouTube, and it'll be edited down to 3 minutes and 23 seconds, and I won't have to watch anything preceding or following it.
Oh, Green Day's going to be on there, too.
Really?
Yeah. Now you're going to watch, aren't you?
That just makes me sad. That's just wrong that Green Day would be on there.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, whatever. You know what? I'm going to quit caring. I'm going to quit caring about American Idol now. Okay, I'm finished.
Well, a rep for Sweet of Vodka has confirmed that it'll sponsor Georgia Rules, Lindsay Lohan's upcoming 21st birthday bash in Las Vegas.
Fantastic.
A rep for Lohan will only say, I am unaware who is sponsoring Lindsay's birthday, but I am sure that somebody's planning one. Lohan's attorney confirmed the deal with Sweet of Vodka, adding, this should be one of the best parties ever.
I think that goes without saying. They ought to really just cut out the middle managers. Have the party inside a giant van outside the Betty Ford Clinic. You know what I mean? Just have the party on your way to the detox room.
Meanwhile, I lost my place.
This just in. This breaking news. Tim Riley does not know where he is in the news.
Angelina Jolie says she is not concerned about how she's portrayed in the press. She says, quote, there is nothing I have to hide or defend. In a segment in an exclusive interview with NBC's Ann Curry that aired on the Today Show, Jolie says she lives in the spotlight, but she deals with it.
I take my kids to school, and if I go to work, I go to work, and they visit me on set. I come home, I have dinner with my family, I have breakfast with my family. I have a very solid, very warm home. I'm very fortunate.
Yeah, she sounds like a really interesting person that I'd like to spend a lot of time with.
Yeah. Well, here's something interesting. People won't stop setting cars on fire in Southeast Portland. 3 more were set on fire today for some unknown reason. And I'm trying to figure out exactly why.
That's going to be the next thing. I can't steal my car now, so I'll just come home and it's going to be a smoking cinder.
So we're not going to bother to list all the streets, because I'm sure if you live in Southeast Portland, there's probably one on yours anyway.
Please list some of the streets.
All right, let's see here.
Because I suspect this is like that cross-country Naga. We got to get a map of the United States in here at some point. But I suspect if we had a map of Southeast Portland, you know it's just going to be like in a straight line. It's going to steadily encroach right upon my neighborhood.
Somebody tried to set a car on fire on Southeast 73rd, but they were unsuccessful. They'll have to come back and try that one again. We have Raymond Street, Southeast Raymond, Southeast Tebbets, Southeast 75th, Southeast 96th, Southeast Harold. And Southeast Odie.
All right, fantastic. So those are all at least 40 blocks away from me. So
if you live in Southeast, they're coming to torch your car.
I was going to say, so I should probably have a good week or two cushion time before that happens. Well done.
I don't know how much this woman weighs, but apparently she must be quite rotund, because she's accused of causing her baby's death by rolling on top of him while he was sleeping.
Oh, that's a bad way to go.
This happened in Newburgh. Coral Ora Evans is charged with criminally negligent homicide in the death of her 5-week-old son, Cole. Apparently, she was drunk at the time and rolled on top of him.
Mother of the year.
Yeah.
Oh, fantastic.
Well, officers forced their way into a northeast Portland townhouse and suddenly found themselves face-to-face with a man pointing a loaded shotgun at him, so they did what needed to be done, and they shot him back.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't hear about that.
Well, it is now you have.
I guess it's northeast Portland. We've learned that many of the stories that might otherwise be front-page news are...
He was screaming and threatening to kill a woman. Of course, he couldn't get away with that. Boom! He had a history of drug problems and was a convicted felon. I shouldn't be allowed to run around.
I love this succinct assessment of the news department here. This just in, boom. Police take out the trash once again in Northern... Do you have that story right here? I'm going to put this in my the police do something right.
Probably word a little bit differently than my version.
This just in, a-hole taken down. All right. Face to face with a man pointed a loaded shotgun.
What do you think should be the outcome of that?
A special response team was activated, and the suspect was later found dead inside the townhouse. This is the best thing. They found out he was threatening to kill a woman. There was, in fact, no one inside. Oh, you'll be amazed by this. He had a history of drug problems and was a convicted felon. All right. So, well done.
Well, they won't have to respond to a call about him again.
No, it's true.
Saving the taxpayers' money.
A little trash taking itself out there. Here's Tim Riley.
A man is under arrest for trying to blow up the Kalama Police Department. Somebody called 911 to report a man was standing outside the station holding a glass container in one hand and a lighter in the other, threatening to blow up the police station. He was standing about. He was facing a window where a clerk was working. He was holding an incendiary device, which contained gasoline, and had two more bottles. The man told officers that voices in his head were telling him to blow up the police station. They arrested 46-year-old Stephen Poutney of Kalama, who looks like he's about 80, on attempted arson charges and threatening to blow up the police department. He has a history of mental illness. Well, it is Kalama.
Somebody has a good question.
Who in their right mind would be living there?
This is Rick, about that guy, the bomber guy at Liberty University.
Right.
This is a really good point. He says, Rick, answer me this. Why is this nutcase psychopathic religious freak not referred to according to the label that accurately describes him? Why is the news not referring to him as a terrorist?
Now, Weiss.
Well, that's exactly why. He said, listen, he says, and I'd never really thought about it. He said, listen to this. A religious fundamentalist who made and planned to use bombs on innocent civilians exercising their constitutionally protected rights of free speech to defend the reputation of a religious leader. Sounds like a terrorist to me. And he says, it's a good thing we're in Iraq, otherwise religious nutcase terrorists with bombs would follow us here. Oh, wait. I hadn't really thought about that at all. That's exactly what it is. He's a white man going to Jerry Falwell's college, therefore it's impossible that he's a terrorist.
Are there any non-white people going to Jerry Falwell's college?
I don't really know the answer to that. I suspect there may be a bus going in and out
of
that place.
Might they be dancing together?
No, that's not allowed. Here's Tim Riley.
A man accused of biting off his wife's bottom lip has been arrested after she called him short. He's rejected a plea offer and will stand trial next month. Akano Nusurem of San Francisco is charged with felony counts of domestic violence, mayhem, false imprisonment, battery, and making criminal threats. Nusurem told police he was provoked by his wife, attacking him first and calling him a short man.
Well, he could only reach the lower lip.
Mm-hmm. Police recovered the lip from the floor, but doctors weren't able to reattach it.
They weren't?
No.
Well, that doesn't make any goddamn sense. I don't understand that at all. How is it, as my medical hair restoration spot says, the best thing about the medical hair restoration commercial that runs, by the way, is how I refer to men on the moon as a medical advance. There's been all kinds of medical advances. Like men on the moon.
But that was like 35 years ago, wasn't it? Almost 40. The man on the moon, 1969.
It's true. I guess I'm not really up to date with that. I guess my reference...
That was my first, not what I heard.
I guess my reference
is an old piece of copy.
Kids, enjoy Tang and medical hair restoration. I guess
that's children are being saved from polio. Let's talk about the friendly animal.
Medical advances. The eradication of smallpox and typhus. All right. Well, I was just going to say, I guess it's not really as topical as it might ideally be.
That's true. Who wrote that?
Me.
Oh, no.
I wrote it.
At least after a lot of thought, apparently. I've been on the moon.
Not so much. There have been all kinds. So not only am I misidentifying men on the moon in that commercial as being a medical advance, it's an advance from like 4 decades ago. There have been all kinds of medical advances 50 years ago. I don't even know what I'm saying. Anyway, but as I said, you know, but I know now that there's like laser heart surgery and so. How is it they can reattach a guy's penis? Or they can. Okay, in Britain, they can swap faces, right?
Yeah.
Like in Britain, they've done whole face transplants. How is it that your lip can fall off or be bitten off and they can't put your lip back on? Is this some sort of like is this depending on what level of the Kaiser Permanente plan you have? Is that?
Oh, that's a good question. I'm not sure.
All right. Well, in any event, so blah blah blah. Wife was giving him some lip. Blah blah blah. Wah 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 wah. All right. Here's Tim Riley.
There's word that the Gilmore Girls could return to television in the form of a TV movie. The series creator Amy Sherman-Palladino. Says she would like to wrap up the loose ends of the show with a special two-hour Gilmore Girls special in the next year or two. Star Lauren Graham, who played 30-something single mom Lorelai Gilmore, says a Gilmore Girls TV movie could be a fun idea if anybody wants to do it. A ring of cast members included Kelly Bishop, Edward Herman, and Scott Peterson.
Boy, you know...
Oh, Patterson.
Scott Peterson.
Maybe, well, Scott Peterson...
Get on the boat, Lorelai! Tonight, on an all-new Gilmore Girls. Tonight, on an all-new Gilmore Girls, Rory's body is eaten by pilot fish. I'm sorry, have I gone too far?
Yes, you've gone too far.
Well, let's talk to this old mom.
What old mom?
This 60-year-old woman is the oldest mom ever. She's given birth to twins.
Oh, lucky them.
The babies were delivered in a New York medical center to Freedom Birnbaum.
I don't know why that made me laugh. Freedom Birnbaum
is America's oldest mom.
It just sounds like a name that would be made up in one of those Onion news stories.
Freedom Birnbaum had this to say.
That's exactly the leading for this.
Really?
Frieda Birnbaum has this to say.
The 60-year-old aged mother, Frieda Birnbaum, had this to say.
You think it would be crazy for somebody at my stage of life to be in this
and you'd
kind
be right.
of situation. But it's a gift.
Oh, yeah. God. Yeah, sure, of course. Was she on fertility drugs?
It doesn't say.
I'm betting
let's see here.
I'm betting it's a gift.
Oh, yeah, she went on... She got these fertility drugs from South Africa.
Yeah, it's a gift from God.
So also, it must have been cheap.
Also Eli Lilly. It's a gift from Pfizer.
All right. The new mom says people aren't as shocked as she thought they would be.
And nobody's shocked. I think I'm the one that's more shocked than anybody else.
Where is this at?
So New Jersey.
Well, of course they're not shocked. They're idiots.
Now.
You're surrounded by fools.
Age is being redefined all the time.
Age isn't being redefined. You're just a narcissistic... I'm not going to care. She'll be dead.
60 is a new 59.
No, it's... she'll be dead by the kids are in short pants. Oh, all right. Just my only note on the Gilmore Girls is
Scott Peterson has been sent in the sequel.
I don't want to go back to that joke. It's still funny, though. All right. Anywho, no, it was just going to be that I don't know what any of them are going to do now, but that series ended really badly. It's just because Amy Palladino, who was sort of the mastermind, she was sort of the Aaron Sorkin of that show, you know, she kind of got kicked off it, and so the last season was without her, and it just kind of went, it turned all ass without her. But the only great thing was the series ended with Rory Gilmore meeting Christiane Amanpour, which is great, because that's been her idol all the way through the series, so that was a nice little twist. You know, I don't really have anything to say about the Gilmore Girls, except that Lorelai Gilmore is just hot as balls. That's really all I wanted to say, because I quit watching it after the fourth season. It's not like it went bad or something. I just didn't watch it. I just sort of, there was only so many hours in the week, and I just sort of fell away from it. And frankly, after they got rid of the Jess character, it was sort of less interesting to me anyway. Although I should also say that in addition to finding Lorelai Gilmore, that is to say Lauren Graham, she is the hottest mom in the history of television. I'm going to tell you that right now. Hotter than Shirley Jones, which I didn't think was possible. I did not think it was possible for there to be a TV mom hotter than Shirley Jones. Lauren Graham is the hottest television mom ever. Never to be surpassed. There will never be a TV mom hotter than her. It helps that she was an unwed teen mother, so she got an early start on it. That she avoided some of the ravages of time. I will also, what was my other observation going to be? Oh, and then I found that chick who played Paris Geller to be really hot, too. And I'm done. All right, here's Tim Riley.
Phil Spector's personal driver stood by his story about what happened on that night. The night Leonard Clarkson was shot to death in Spector's Alhambra mansion, the defense used Adriana D'Souza's immigration status and knowledge of English to put his story into question. But Deputy DA Alan Jackson finished with a simple question.
Are you mistaken about what you heard Mr. Spector say when he stepped out of that doorway? He said, I think I killed somebody. No. Are you sure about that?
Yes. Alan Jackson, really?
Yes.
Reach for comment on the Chattahoochee. Mr. Jackson had this to say. Rick. Fire happy in Southeast is this email. Rick, as a listener who's a resident in the heart of the arson-loving triangle of death here in Southeast Portland, do you know how many ongoing projects we have on the show right now? I mean, seriously.
I don't know. How many are there?
We have, which we will without fail, we will work on, I've decided not to try to do a whole stanza. We're going to work on a single line of the Portland song today. We're going to get a single line of it done. I got this whole thing. Now, let me just say this, and I don't want to get ahead of ourselves. But, you know, we had 666 last year. We did Horns Across the Hawthorn.
The pictures are everywhere in here.
They are. And we have something much, much smaller that we were going to do for 777 this year. Much smaller. Tiny scale. It's kind of a...
There are smaller bridges around.
She's gonna be over. She's gonna be over one of those bridges in the. She's gonna be over that bridge, the failing pedestrian bridge or whatever it is. No, we were gonna do something really tiny, and it's more of like a dumb radio stunt, you know, for 777. And I'll get to that later, so we can talk about that. But you know, what are the other things we ought to do? We really ought to try to come up with a new.
Aren't we doing a dumb radio stunt on 777?
Maybe.
That's Harry Potter Day.
No, it's not. That's 724.
Are you sure?
Yeah, it's not 777. They moved it. We thought it was going to be when they moved it. It's the same week as the Transformers. So I think the Transformers is like, I don't know what it is. It's around the same time as the Transformers, though. But this will be the yin to the Portland Anthem Yang. A big push to start calling Southeast Portland the Triangle of Death. We're just trying to get everybody. Why should it just be Vancouver that takes the brunt of our abuse?
Welcome to the Triangle of Death. We can put up some signs.
That's great. I mean, people in the Couve, you know, they get sad of being called Vantucky, you know, and whatever. And St. John's, which is just a living, breathing hell. Why should Southeast be exempt? The Triangle of Death here in Southeast Portland. He says, I have to wonder if these cars being set ablaze are actually running, operating motor vehicles, or perhaps this is an act of some concerned citizen attempting to beautify the area by burning all of the non-operational lawn art that so many of my neighbors choose to park in their yards. That's a good question. Whether these are actual operative cars or whether these are, you know, abandoned cars that are being set on fire.
That is a good question.
You know, are cops even discussing this? Are they even talking about it?
No.
Why would they?
What are they going to talk about?
Why would Brian Schmaltz be wasting his precious time as a police information officer talking about a crime happening in Southeast Portland?
No, I don't think anybody cares.
No, clearly not. It's probably another white athlete somewhere who's overdosing on a drug. You can talk about that. Here's Tim Riley.
One of the charges against David Faustino has been dropped. The man who played Bud Bundy on the 1980s Fox sitcom Married with Children was arrested in New Smyrna Beach, Florida, May 12th. That's how much he's fallen, living in Florida. Arresting officers said Faustino and his estranged wife both appear to have been drinking. Faustino charged with disorderly intoxication and possession of marijuana. Both are misdemeanors. The charge Faustino was drunk is being dropped. So what's left? If he's convicted on a drug charge, he could face up to a year in a Florida jail.
They ought to put his sentence ought to just be living in an apartment with Pauly Shore. Because I don't know why, but him and Pauly Shore always go together in my head for some reason. There's no real reason for it. But Pauly Shore and David Faustino are linked in my head. I don't know. It's just a weird thing. I have no... It's like our radio stations always have to play Heartbreaker and Living Loving Maid back to back. Pauly Shore and David Faustino are just linked in my brain. All right, well, let's do one more, and then we'll break, and we'll come back with Jim Roop.
Well, a German couple had to call the fire department after tying each other up in chains and then losing the key to the padlock. Jarin Renstadt and his wife Maria, from the town of Wieden, dressed up in leather and changed each other to their beds, but lost the keys during the romp. After hours of trying to free themselves, they finally gave up and used Jarin's mobile phone. He said, "This is so embarrassing. We want to try something a bit different, and we ended up with these."
We wanted to try being Spanish.
I even wanted to be taken to the hospital because my wrists were swollen so much we're trying to get out of the handcuffs.
Now you've just gone into a totally neutral accent there. That's an accent that I can't even pin down. All right. Why would you... Look, I don't know much about...
Germans?
I don't.
Bondage?
I don't know much
German
about
bondage.
That either. I don't know anything about German bondage.
Perhaps there's a little golden book available on these.
The sub little puppy. What was I saying?
I don't know.
The phrase little golden book leads me to a joke that I will not make because I don't wish to work blue. What was I going to say? You know, here's the thing I don't understand about the bondage thing. Whatever, you know, I don't care what anybody's into, but it does seem like these mistakes happen a lot in the news. Why don't they make bondage things, you need padlocks or whatever, but I mean, that are combination locks. Doesn't that seem like a better idea?
I suppose so, yes.
I mean, that just doesn't make any sense at all. Because you hear these stories again, well, somebody was tied up by his lover who then lost the key. I don't understand why the sex toy community, why don't they start selling bondage wear that has, like, combination locks in it? And I know that they, you know, it's a forward-thinking society, like men on the moon.
Well, their convention's coming up soon. You want to suggest that?
You know, I tried to go to their convention the last time I was in Los Angeles, but, you know, they wanted, like, $50 at the door for that. Screw that.
So we didn't get an invitation.
My press pass wasn't going to do me any good at all. It's like how they sell those plastic chastity belts now, so you can wear them through an airport metal detector.
I didn't know.
That's why I'm here. Let's take a break now. We'll come back. Jim Roop around the corner. Later on, today's top five. That's what we'll do there. We'll do concert notes from last night's My Chemical Romance show. We'll talk more to Scotty J and so forth. It started up friends. Thanks. 503-733. Maybe you can layer into a mashup of this and Bill Pullman together. 503-733-2970. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Don't go anywhere.
Come on, Jim.
Rick Emerson radio program. Thank you for coming by. In a few minutes, we'll talk with CNN radio correspondent Jim Roop.
Scotty J. This is David Cassidy.
You know what else?
You're not going to amount to jack squat.
I have some fantastic news for you, Sarah.
For me?
Yeah, though I have some exciting news. And I see Jim Roop on hold. Jim, hang on. We'll get to you in just a second. Scotty J.
Yes, sir. We're going to have to get a longer call because I can't make it down the hall that fast.
You know, it'll serve you. You know, you get a little punchy there.
I know.
And by the way, you son of a bitch, I rode my... Yes, I rode.
Seamus is holding him out. He's going to use the contra as an excuse not to bicycle.
I bicycled. You bastards.
I'm going to go and check the parking lot to make sure your car is enough.
I would not lie about helping the differently abled.
Okay.
In no way would I do that. I'm just saying.
You let them down yesterday. I don't know what kind of person you are.
You know, the best part was Cord's response. Cord from Cord and Fatboy. He's like, why don't you just hold them down and give them polio? Hmm? And then he... Why don't you just inject them with polio, Rick?
Oh, I love that.
All right, we'll get to Jim Ruby in just a second. But Scotty just revealed to me that there is audio and video.
That was
there's audio and... What do you mean that was between you and me? You should know better than that
in
by
the
now.
Wall.
There
in
was.
Window.
You should you know by now that nothing is between you, Sarah. He doesn't know. All right.
You can't tell him anything unless
you're right.
Scotty just revealed to me that there is audio and video of Scotty in a band singing "You Give Love a Bad Name." How long ago was this?
So we also sang "Poison." We sang
by Alice Cooper.
No,
band "Poison."
From the band
"How
Poison."
How long ago?
I want to say 87.
So 20 years ago.
Yeah.
What was your job in the band?
Lead singer.
Why have you not told us this? Don't you understand about sharing? Don't you understand?
This was literally...
Well, we know he likes the karaoke. Now this explains it.
Uh-huh.
This was literally a...
Were you a good singer?
Not then.
Fantastic.
But you are now.
Okay, you're going to bring it in. You'll bring it in? You'll bring it in tomorrow.
I think we should have Scotty prove himself on the air and have him karaoke live.
Do you agree that this has to be heard? I mean, there's audio of you singing a Bon Jovi song 20 years ago in a band. You have to bring it in.
It was the day after.
You have to bring it in.
Okay.
You have to. No.
I'll work on it.
Scotty, This is not a, this is not a discussion. You have to bring it in. You have to bring it in. And have you heard, and I know that we'll get to Jim in a second, I feel real bad about this, but have you not heard the air checks I've played of myself?
Yes.
Have you not heard the ways in which I've embarrassed and demeaned myself by playing my old stupid Top 40 air checks? Tim doing air checks where he's playing the voice of an Eskimo?
Mall 205?
Sarah's Mall 205.
That was actually really good.
It's your turn. It's your
turn. The Mall 205 is professional.
It's your turn.
Okay, we'll see.
Now,
I have air check tapes too. I sound like a girl.
No, you have to. Scotty, come on. You have to bring it in.
Okay.
Tell me you'll bring it in tomorrow. Tell me you'll bring in the singing a Bon Jovi song in a band.
Let me write it on my hand so
Sarah,
I don't forget.
Help me out here.
Scotty, don't be an ass.
Don't be an ass. The people want to hear it.
Okay.
Well, all right?
Okay.
Scotty?
I know you love singing, so you might as well just put it out.
I have some good news to give you, but you know what? I'm not going to give it to you.
Well, you did that to me with the DJ thing, too.
All right. Don't go anywhere. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show from Los Angeles. Correspondent James Roof. Hello, sir.
The force is with you, my friend.
I knew you were going to say that. Hey, let me ask you this real quickly. Would you be interested in hearing Scotty J sing You Give Love a Bad Name by Bon Jovi 26?
I'm supposed to be off tomorrow, but I'm calling it anyway.
See, that's what I'm saying. The people demand it, Scotty. The people want to hear it. I have played so many embarrassed. I was going to say you're not old enough, Scotty, but you were not on the show long enough to have witnessed the Tim Riley Factor in all its glory, which is this house band that we used to have, where I would write and sing and play the most atrocious songs on earth.
Well, I want to hear some of those.
I've got them around. I can play them. I don't think I have any here. But you ask the people, those are terrible. Those are awful.
See, my day, we were all in rock bands when we were kids. But, I mean, we did the Bachman Turner Overdrive. I mean, I'm talking 70s rock and roll. So.
Totally. Our go-to songs were always just like anything that had a lot of open power chords. You know? I mean, it was just tons of like, You Ain't Seen Nothing Yet, because you could just do that.
Yeah, sure. Any Bachman Turner Overdrive you could do.
Exactly.
Molly Hatchet, we did all that crap.
Molly Hatchet, Sweet Home Alabama, anything that had a good 1-4-5 progression that you could just plow through over and over and over again. All right, so Scotty, you can't leave the studio. You have to stay here.
Yeah. We did the Blue Oyster Cult, Def Leppard.
See, how is
Poison.
It you've never told us this? How is it that you have kept this from us?
Because it's pretty bad.
It's wrong. It is.
Then why did you even bring it up if you didn't want us
because
to hear
it? Because he secretly wants us to play it.
Yeah. I'm ready for it, man.
All right, well, we're going to play it tomorrow. Scotty's bringing it in. All right. Well, you talk about this Star Wars thing. So this is... I should know this because I'm a bad geek, I guess. I thought we were already past the 30th anniversary. I guess the 30th anniversary is in June, right?
Yeah, well, June 77 is when the original Star Wars came out.
That's right, because June of 2005 is when the Revenge of the Sith, the final film came out. So what is it? Are they doing a parade or something? Or am I confusing this with something that's already happened?
Today is the whole event hasn't officially started yet. Today is for the real geeks to show up because they're marathoning all six movies in a row.
Really?
In order. So you're going to have the first three, which were the last three made,
sure,
will air and then move on into episode 3 and 4 and so on and so forth. So it's going to be interesting to see the special effects thing.
I'm so confused. Are they starting with the original Star Wars and then they're
starting with episode 1?
They're
going through all six in order to tell the complete story.
Really? So they're showing it in not the reverse order, but they're showing the trilogies in the reverse order they were made.
Right. They're showing it in the order the story is...
In the chapters.
Yeah.
So who's the one? That must have been Lucas's decision.
Yeah, and I asked, I said, well, the special effects are going to be awfully different.
Yeah.
And he said, well, here's how it works. Either George Lucas is a genius or he's very lucky. When you'll go from with episode 1 and all of that with the great special effects and the beautifully designed ships and the costumes and the large world that it is, you go from there then to episode 3, which is a very narrow picture of, if you will, after the war had already happened. So you see the devastation of war.
Oh, I see. So when they get back to A New Hope, to the one that was so complicated, and I'm a nerd. So when they get to the first Star Wars film that was released, which is the original one with Mark Hamill and so forth,
right.
It's going to look primitive because it's after the war.
Right.
All right, so there you go. That sounds like a bit of what they, on the net, the kids call retrofitting. That's a whole lot of, that's a lot of revisionism made to cover up the fact that George Lucas, in my opinion, didn't ever really have a master plan and has just sort of tried to fake his way through this and has fooled a legion of geeks, myself included, into swallowing his garbage for 30 years now. And, you know, the thing about George Lucas is, it's sort of a nobody hits my brother but me kind of a thing. Because when other people sort of bust on Star Wars or they make fun of it, you know, I get really angry and I start to, I give people long, tedious lectures about the importance of the Star Wars films. But of course, when nerds are talking among themselves, we can freely admit that George Lucas has spent about the last 12 years just kicking us in the scrotum over and over again when he wasn't busy picking our pockets. So, you know, what are you going to do, I guess? Is Lucas going to be there, or is he just sitting somewhere waiting for the checks to arrive from this?
That's all up in the air. We do know that Carrie Fisher, Mark Hamill, the guy who played Chewbacca, the guy who played Darth Vader, all those guys are here. At least they're going to be here. But not sure about Harrison Ford, not sure about George Lucas. I don't know why he wouldn't show up. This is the biggest party ever.
Because he's an ass. Because he's just a jerk.
I don't know.
Well, you know, and there's a standing joke that, you know, Harrison Ford won everybody else's career in a poker game. Because, you know, the rest of those guys. I mean, I guess Carrie Fisher had some success with Postcards from the Edge and whatnot. But, I mean, it's all... You know, Harrison Ford, you want to talk about a guy who just is the luckiest son of a bitch on earth. I mean, you know, going from Han Solo and then Indiana Jones, and then that he was able to shake off both of those. I mean, because what didn't happen to Harrison Ford is what happened to Sylvester Stallone, where he was so lucky. Sylvester Stallone had that curse where he was so lucky that he was instantly identifiable with two really iconic characters, both Rocky and Rambo. But he's so closely identified with him that he'll never escape those characters. And, you know, Harrison Ford is probably the luckiest actor in history that he is iconic for two separate and very different characters and yet managed to escape both of them. And that almost never happens, ever.
Yeah, well, he played Jack Ryan in those...
That's for the Tom Clancy movies. That's true.
Yeah, right. Yeah, so he did all right for himself.
He really did.
But, you know, George Lucas, I don't know what he's going to do. He's trimming his beard somewhere for all
he's
I
sitting
know.
There, he's sitting there with his big... He's got a pouch like he's a pelican, you know what I mean? And it's like, I think it's a pouch, like a big waddle where he just stores extra money for the winter or something. Do you know, because the geeks will want me to ask this, they're showing all six Star Wars films. Do you know if they are showing... The original trilogy, in other words, Star Wars, Empire Strikes Back, Return of the Jedi, are they showing the original theatrical versions or the updated special editions that came out a couple years ago?
The updated special editions.
Oh, of course. Of course. Luke, because he can never just leave well enough alone. See, listen to how angry... This is what I was telling Sarah earlier. So I got to quit talking about Star Wars. Because I'm a grown man. I'm 34 years of age. I'm a grown man. I have a wife and a car and a poodle. And I sit here and I get disproportionately...
And never admit you have a poodle?
No, it's what are you going to do? I'm a big loser. And I sit here and I get disproportionately angry about a movie featuring a bunch of Muppets, you know? So I'm going to quit caring about it right now. I'm done.
There's guys here in their 50s dragging their teenage sons around here, and the teenage sons are going like, come on, Dad, you know, brought me all the way from Indiana to see this crap.
I know, and that's the thing.
He wants to go to the beach... You know, he's in Southern California. His dad's walking him around, and his dad's wearing a Darth Vader outfit.
Oh, that's got to be a lot of fun.
Kids walking around 10 steps behind him going, oh, my God.
The thing that I'm really unclear about, and I kind of am unclear about this, is I don't really know, and I really don't know the answer to this. I don't know whether there is a new crop of kids who are 13, 14, 15, who are really, really into Star Wars, or whether that is a thing that is solely Gen X and older. In other words... Is it Gen X, or is it just that nerds are nerds, and every year there's a new batch of kids who like Star Wars and Star Trek? I don't know the answer to that.
I mean, there are some 20-somethings here that are into this thing, but anybody who's, you know, 12, 13, 14, 15 that are here seem to not want to be here.
Oh, they were there. They were there because some dad with a Mandalorian tattoo was dragging them along. Oh, Jesus. All right. Well, look, I mean, you know what, again? And I live in a gigantic, geeky glass house, so I can throw no stones on that. I will tell you this. I am a man. I have taken my wife to a Star Trek convention by force. So, I mean, I'm no one to point fingers. You know what I mean? So I made my wife go to... I made my wife go to a Star Trek convention. I've dragged my wife to, I think, four different KISS concerts, you know. So I can point no fingers on this score. All right, my friend. Well, enjoy the Star Wars and the so forth and the whatnot, and we'll talk to you. So I'll let you know if we have Scotty if we have Scotty's musical stylings on the show tomorrow.
Yeah, at the very least, you got to call me.
I'll absolutely let you know.
Okay.
All right. Thank you, sir.
You.
There you go. There's Jim Roop in Los Angeles, ladies and gentlemen.
Hey, so have you heard any more about the Indiana Jones movie?
No.
Okay, you're just talking about Harrison Ford. You want to hear something cool?
It's not going to be something cool. It's going to be something that makes me angry. Fine.
Sources close to the production of Indiana Jones 4 say that Karen Allen will be back as Indy's girlfriend, and she'll be playing the mother of Shia LaBeouf. I like her. She was the best one.
Yeah, I know, but I just don't... Do you really care?
I'm disappointed in you, Rick Emerson.
Why?
Why
are you disappointed? No, it's just that...
Because it's going to happen, regardless of whether or not you're trying to fight it, so you might as well embrace the little things that might make you happy.
They've been saying it's going to happen for like 12 years. That's the thing. I mean, it's not that I'm not happy about it. It's that when you start talking about, you know what it is? Here's the thing. Did you ever open a browser window and there's like 15 animated GIFs and like a little, like a Shockwave commercial that floats out on top, and then there's like a MIDI file and an embedded song, and the whole computer slows to a crawl because there's so much trying to happen on the screen at once? When you start talking to me about, like, hey, here's some news about the new Indiana Jones film, my whole internal CPU just, it immediately starts clocking down to almost a standstill because there's just so much that I feel about that. And that makes me a retard, but what are you going to do? I just, like, there's things about the Indiana Jones series that make me happy, that make me upset, that make me angry, that make me whatever. I mean, here's the first few thoughts that come to mind. A, I like Karen Allen. She's way better than What's-Her-Name that appeared in... that was in the, I haven't had my second cup of coffee. I'm looking at my second cup of coffee right here, but I haven't had it yet, which is why my brain isn't working very well right now. I always have my cup of coffee at one, and I didn't. She's way better than What's-Her-Name that's in Temple of Doom, which is kind of an underrated
film. Yeah, the blonde chick.
Yeah, whatever her name is.
I can't remember her name.
Kate Capshaw.
You like the Nazi chick the best, don't you?
As Rob Zombie will tell you, Nazi chicks are hot. Karen Allen's great, but here's the thing. Hold on a second. It's just, we're going to have to...
You're going to have to take some coffee.
I'm going to have to take some coffee before I can even form all my thoughts on this. So just give me just one second here, will we? There we go. Here's the thing about Indiana Jones 4. Is that maybe it's going to happen, maybe it's not. But first of all, it is just like an extended tease. They've been talking about Indiana Jones 4 since like 2 years after Last Crusade came out. And Last Crusade came out in like 1992 or something like that. I mean, it's been at least 15 years since Last Crusade came out.
Mm-hmm.
Talking about bringing back Karen Allen from Raiders of the Lost Ark, I don't have any problem with bringing her back as such, except I will tell you this, and maybe it's just me, but I don't think so. If you go back and you watch Raiders of the Lost Ark now, the moments with Karen Allen just drag. They just freaking drag.
Yeah, I'm looking at her. She hasn't aged very well.
And I just don't care about Indiana Jones' girlfriend. I just don't. I think Indiana Jones' girlfriend...
I don't think she's going to play a pivotal part. I think she's the mother of Shia LaBeouf, who's going to be one of the main characters.
Well, that brings me to bad point number five. But, I mean, the thing about Indiana Jones is, you just want to see him kicking ass and fighting Nazis and battling off giant spiders. I don't care about his love life at all in any way. And you go back and you watch the Indiana Jones films, and those are the points when those movies just slow to an absolute standstill. And I think they were put there for two reasons. One, because they were thinking that if he had a love interest, it would get women to see the movie. And I don't think that really worked. I think women are either going to be deceived because they like it or they're not. They're not going to see it because there's some love interest. And B, maybe to titillate 13-year-old boys, but I didn't find Karen, it's not like she was Leia in a slave girl costume. I didn't find Karen Allen all that arousing. She may be a lot of things, but I don't know that anybody looks at Karen Allen and thinks that she's all that sexy. So giving Indiana Jones any sort of a love interest, any sort of romantic subplot, that's when I go to the lobby to get popcorn.
And
you know what I mean?
The other deal is, at this age, having a love interest at this age, I don't know what the storyline is.
He's older now than Sean Connery was when they made The Last Crusade. And this brings me to my, how old is Shia LaBeouf?
Oh, I don't know. I think he's like 20.
See, I don't... It's just, you know, it's not like having what's his name Short Round from the second one. But you know what? I don't want to have a kid sidekick along with Indiana Jones. If you're gonna have it, make it the young Indiana Jones Chronicles, or if he's gonna pass the hat, so to speak,
like
pass it off to
Sean Connery role.
That
should
fine.
Step into that.
I'm okay with that. But what I don't want to do is have Indiana Jones along. Is the deal is that Shia LaBeouf is playing the son of Indiana Jones and what's her name, Marion Ravenwood? Is that the deal? Is him and Karen Allen's kid?
Yeah.
I don't care about that because it's just going to be a thinly veiled retread of the thing from Last Crusade, and it's going to be a lot of Shia LaBeouf going, "You never had time for me. Maybe if I was buried in the desert in a vault, you would have cared for me
no,
more."
No, they already did that with River Phoenix. But I don't think they do it again.
I just see, I'm getting all angry about it. I'm getting angry about it.
I respect Shia LaBeouf as an actor. I don't think that he would play that role if it was something like a whiny little grovelly son. I bet he's like the strong-willed son.
You know what? Hayden Christensen's a pretty good actor. You would think that he wouldn't play something that just required him to be a wooden toadstool for 90 minutes, and yet he did it twice. Three times, actually. No, actually, I guess just twice. So, see, this is why I can't talk about it, because it just makes me angry. It just makes me angry and embittered.
Should we talk about something very happy and gay?
That might be our...
Are we talking about Scotty again?
This might be our traveling friend.
Like a happy ending or the same
there.
Thing.
Okay, let's hold on just a second. Let's just stop and get a hold of ourselves. See, this, I'm not going to talk about Indiana Jones anymore. I'm going to talk about it
I'm
once a week.
About My Chemical Romance.
I know. I'm going to talk about Indiana Jones once a week, except it's 1:30. We haven't taken a break. So here's what we got to do. Take a break. We'll come back, do a few brief headlines with Tim. We'll talk to World Traveler Nate, or Cross Country Nate, the guy who's driving across the country. Because yesterday we figured out he's going to go to Maryhill, and then he's going to go to the Sip and Chew in Kalispell, Montana. Then he will be going to Craters of the Moon in Boise, Idaho, as he travels across the country with his girlfriend and son. Then we got to figure out where they're going after that. Then, Scotty J., we're going to talk to you again.
All right.
You don't know why, do you?
No, I don't.
All right, so that's fine. All right, so go see if this is Cross Country Nate. We'll take a break here, come back. Tim Riley, Cross Country Nate, the top five, Scotty J. I'm going to hold myself to like one discussion of Indiana Jones per week. That's it. I'm going to have some sort of a rule where I can't talk about Indy 4 more than once every five workdays. Makes me disproportionately angry. You know what it is? It's just Lucas. It's just the attachment of Lucas. That is anger at George Lucas spilling over into everything else. F him. Back after this, the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970, Solid State Radio. Here's the business. Why, hello, it's the Rick Emerson Radio Program. That's the last thing I'm going to say about Indiana Jones. First of all, Aaron has a really good point, by the way. Thank you. Indy, my friend! I'm so pleased you're not dead!
Get it out of your system now, and then we'll move on.
Have I told that story yet this month? How I met that guy? What's his name? John Rhys Davies?
No.
John Rhys Davies, he plays Sala in Indiana Jones, and he played Gimli. What's his name? No one tosses a dwarf. That guy, I met him years ago. And, of course, I did what every fanboy does. He was at the radio station to promote some cause or whatever. But I didn't care. And so it's like, I came up to the hallway. I go, Izzy, my friend, I'm so glad. Please, you're not dead. And he just kind of went, ha-ha, yes. You know, and then he walked on by. Yes, idiot American fanboy. All right. He notes here that you said that you respected Shia LaBeouf as an actor and you don't think he would do something bad, blah, 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 blah. Aaron has a good point, which is that when George Lucas, when George Lucas and Steven Spielberg call you and tell you to be in a movie, you just say yes. It doesn't matter. Steven Spielberg calls your house and says, hey, you're going to be in my new film. You just kind of go, thank you. And that's it. It doesn't matter. And he says, by the way, stunt casting. The casting within Indiana Jones 4 is nothing but stunt casting to get all of us geeks excited again. Run the list, Rick. Snake jokes. Check. Religious item defined. Check. Sala is back. Check. Karen Allen is back. Check. Indy fighting Nazis. Check. Indy's kid referenced in Raiders. Check. He said it's just an amalgamation of every fanboy script, and when you consider that Lucas is writing it, a fan-based script would probably be better anyway. Ladies and gentlemen, the Reverend Tim Riley.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
There's a picture of Dick Cheney smiling on the web. He's holding his brand-new godchild, apparently his daughter Mary, the lesbian, gave birth to a baby boy just moments ago in the nation's capital. This is Samuel David Cheney. He weighs 8 pounds and 6 ounces.
He's smiling?
He's smiling.
Does it look like it's hurting
the baby?
Does it look like it's hurting?
I don't know if it's...
Eh?
I think they might actually have to, like wedge his face into that position.
Botox.
Yeah, sir. I don't know that his face smiles naturally. I don't think he can do that.
Well, the lesbian daughter, huh?
Yep, all one right. of them.
Yeah, I don't know that I approve.
Meanwhile, Netflix is expanding. Do you know their main office for these parts is in Salem?
I did. I did indeed know that.
And starting at 5 a.m., employees open up all the return movies. Several bins, six feet high, are filled with DVDs. Each one has a barcode. But you know how Netflix works. Anyway, they're not content to be the nation's top online movie company. In March, it rolled out free online movie service. You can watch movies on your computer, apparently.
I'd heard that, I don't know if this is true, but I'd heard that Netflix was going to start streaming movies to TiVo, which is great.
Oh, my.
That they were going to start sending movies directly to TiVo. I had Netflix, and I canceled it just because I didn't have enough time, but it's a great service. It really is.
Well, there haven't been any good movies out in the past couple of years to join Netflix to see.
The great thing about Netflix, though, is, and this is not a plug, they have a deep, deep library. I mean, you can rent stuff that's made overseas. You can rent things from 1930. If you are unemployed and a movie fan, Netflix is really the best thing possible. Scotty's typing on the screen, how is that possible? I can only assume this is in reference to Dick Cheney's daughter having a baby with another woman. We'll talk about it another time, Scotty. I'll get a diagram of some kind. Here's Tim Riley.
Meanwhile, Jay Leno is marking his 50th year as the Tonight Show host, but nobody's watched that since that Hugh Grant episode, and nobody ever talks about it. But it's still on TV, and he's going to be hanging around at least till 2009, so try to avoid that show at least till then. Paris Hilton has become a Buddhist. She's seen leaving a Buddhist store in L.A. dressed in a blue dress. She stopped in the Buddhist store, the Booty Tree.
It's not really called that.
The Booty Tree.
Is it really?
Oh, Body Tree.
Oh.
B-O-D-H-I. Is that some Buddhist word?
I don't know. I'm trying to think of some joke about booty and Buddhist.
Well, a day later, she was spotted carrying a self-help book and a copy of the Bible. I have a picture of that, too. She's clearly a fast reader. She is the only person in history to finish a copy of the Good Book overnight.
Yeah.
I saw that picture of her clutching both of those, and she's just...
The power of now.
She just looks so sad.
She's got to be spiritual enlightenment.
She looks so unhappy in that photograph. I don't care whether it's a country club jail or not. I just the idea that she's going to have to wear no makeup and the same pair of panties for like 5 days in a row in a jail makes me really happy. I know that it shouldn't. I know that's a little schadenfreude there where I'm happy at her unpleasantness, but you know what? It doesn't matter. I don't care. I feel just fine with that.
The picture of her carrying this book, she looks like... She looks like she has legs like a horse, and she's not wearing a brassiere.
Well, I think she lacks proper undergarment support. Those are unpleasant legs.
Yeah, I told you.
Those are unpleasant.
Looks like a pony. And what? She's really bony, too.
He's a bony pony?
He's a bony pony.
That's not even funny, but I'm laughing. It's just one of those days. Well, let's go. Let's list her physical flaws. It's always entertaining and amusing to list the physical flaws of those with more money than myself. First of all, she's got weird web swamp thing feet. Her feet have got these weird bony. It's almost like they're flippers.
Maybe they'll be on display at that OMSI show.
It's Paris Hilton's body. Her feet have got. It's like the bones are showing, but there are more bones showing than I think you have bones in your feet. It's almost like I don't even know. They really are like she's got diving flippers or something on inside her shoes. She's got huge knobbly knees. She's got really unpleasant legs. Her calves are no walk in the park either. And then how do I put this? You're right, Tim. She appears to be wearing undergarments of no kind.
Mm-hmm.
And there's just this unpleasant tightness of the dress around her swimsuit area. And it's just showing things that the outlines of things I don't want to see or think about. And then you're right, she's not wearing a brassiere either. Also, she's got a face like a duck. So, all right, well, there you go.
Maybe that explains the webbed feet.
It really might. All right, here's Tim Riley.
There's a controversy brewing in Colorado over the name of a burger at a family-owned Italian restaurant. The Blue Parrot in Louisville, Colorado, has a burger on its menu called the Whop Burger.
Yeah, this is part of the news segment of this program. Mm-hmm. We are simply relaying the information.
Yes. And it is an Italian restaurant. The Blue Parrot's owners, Joe Colacci and Joe Riggins,
said that since the restaurant opened in 1919, they never had a controversy like this, and that's when the name of the Whopper Burger came about, 1919. So that's that. According to the dictionary term, I'm not even going to go in it. Well, look it up in the dictionary. If you're born in New York or someplace, maybe a WAP is derogatory, but not here, says customer Bob Bush. I love WAPs.
I'm going to get that as a bumper sticker.
There you go. Fantastic. This is CBS.
See, that's perfect. I spent about an hour the other day on the internet looking for that. This is CBS. Exactly for moments like that. That is exactly the play. If I had that cut where the guy says, this is CBS, and I think it's Brent Musburger, if I'd been able to find that, that is exactly where I would have used it right there. That's a perfect example of a news story and a phrase that then cried out to have the CBS identifier played immediately following it. All right, let's do one more here, and then we'll talk to cross-country Nate.
Where is cross-country Nate?
He's on the phone. He's on the telephone right here.
And where is he?
He's on the telephone.
Oh, he's waiting?
Yes, he's waiting on the telephone.
What are you asking me? I was curious on what location he might be
in. Oh, he's still in Portland. He hasn't left yet.
Oh, then how is this a story? Well, never mind. It's none of my business.
I don't understand.
I thought he might be in the middle of Minnesota somewhere.
No. He's leaving. No, this is... Thank you. I guess I should give backstory.
Yes. Since this is the second version of this, he might be well on his way to his destination.
No, he is leaving his town, he's leaving town next Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And he and his girlfriend and their son are going to be spending however long it takes to travel in a big loop around the country. The only destination they have to get to is Wisconsin, and then they're coming back here. But they are letting the Rick Emerson audience decide their path. They are letting the Rick Emerson audience decide exactly where he goes, what he visits, and in what order.
Mm-hmm.
So, when we last left him, he's going to Maryhill, followed by the Sip and Chew in Kalispell, Montana, followed by Craters of the Moon in Boise, Idaho. And so, we're going to pick up after that. All right, so let's do one more, and then we'll talk to him.
Okay, let's have a show of hands for who thinks that Charles Manson has already paid his debt to society.
Well, sure, why not? I'll be the contrarian.
Well, a parole board hearing is scheduled for Charles Manson today. He's currently serving a life term, for 7 homicides. He's 72 years old now and is not expected to attend his parole board meeting. The state-appointed attorney will be there. Deborah Tate, the sister of the murdered actress Sharon Tate, is expected to attend. And crime victims have a constitutional right to present victim impact statements at such hearings. Manson has been denied parole 10 times in the past, receiving a string of 5-year denials.
It's so great. He didn't even show up anymore. They do these...
He's busy.
He's busy sitting in his cell, carving swastikas into his palms. They'll do these parole hearings for Charles Manson. And I think he used to come, but I think after about like 85, I think he just sort of sits in his cell and picks his toenails or something while they do this. So that's not going to work. Charles Manson is fascinating to me for a lot of reasons we don't have time to get into now, but he's not going to be getting it. There's nobody, I think there's only one person, and I think it might have been Tex Watson. I think there's only one guy associated with the Manson family that was ever even given parole. I think everybody else, because I know like Leslie Van Houten and Sandra Good and Squeaky Fromm. I mean, there was a whole group of people around the Manson family, but I think everybody else just gets repeatedly told to pound sand when they come up. Squeaky Fromm, who's like, man, she's... You want to talk about devotion, Squeaky? Because everybody else sort of sissied out and turned to Jesus, I think, at some point in a bid to try to get out of jail. Mm-hmm. Man, Squeaky Fromm, she's still true to the cause. She's still hardcore crazy. You talk to Squeaky Fromm, you can't even get 3 words out of her without her talking about how much she still loves Charles Manson. She hadn't even seen him in like 38 years or whenever it was that they went to jail.
Unless Squeaky Fromm gets the oil, doesn't it?
If they executed her, you could have... Squeaky Fromm gets the gas. Come on, that's funny.
It is.
A Squeaky Fromm gets the gas. I kind of wish they'd execute her just so we could say that.
Now you can hope.
All right. Somebody asked if you were talking about a burger called the Whopper.
No, okay. That's different. That's Burger King. And I don't know how they get away with that either.
They embrace all cultures and diversities at Burger King. They're tolerant of all peoples. All right.
Anybody can get a heart attack there.
With further ado, let's welcome to the Rick Emerson Show, Cross Country Nate. Hello, sir.
Hello, friends.
So next Friday is your last day of work. So are you doing a full day of work and then just like packing all your things in the car and leaving?
Yeah, we're leaving Saturday morning. I don't think I'm working next Friday.
All right, excellent. So,
So when we last left you yesterday, and the reason we're kind of doing this for the next couple of days, because again, you're getting down to it. You're getting ready to leave. So what is you, your girlfriend, and your son. So yesterday we decided that your first destination would be Maryhill, where you can see miniature Stonehenge, followed by Kalispell, Montana, where you can go to an exciting place called the Sip and Chew, and then Boise, Idaho, where you will see, and this is apparently a very cool place, it's Craters of the Moon place. Which I guess is sort of a volcano area that looks exactly like the surface of the moon.
Yeah, I was online, saw it last night. It looks pretty cool.
All right.
I wonder if the moon landing was filmed there.
They if you talk to Clyde, he will tell you that there were rumors that Stanley Kubrick was out there filming that crap in like 1968 or whatever. So we've got that. So I now realize how tenuous my grasp of American geography is, because looking at this map, first of all, did you know that Wyoming is right next to Idaho?
Yes.
I had no idea. I thought Wyoming was way down south by Mexico for some reason. I see you laugh, you bastard, but I had no idea. I had no notion of where it was. So looking at this now, and by the way, the phone number is 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. We are looking for the next stop for Nate and his family after Boise, Idaho and the Craters of the Moon. So I'm looking at Boise, Idaho. After you go to Boise, it's just a real big nothing. I mean, there's a whole lot of big empty after that. So I don't really know, unless you want to spend a lot of time in Sawtooth, where I imagine they have maybe perhaps a dirt festival of some kind. I don't really know where you're going to go after that. There's Boise, Idaho, and then if you want to go to Wyoming, and there's something interesting in Wyoming. What's in Wyoming?
Tumbleweed.
Yellowstone. That's it. That's all I know about it.
Tumbleweeds and the John Birch Society.
Yeah, all the geysers and all the parks and stuff. That'd be really cool.
Is that true?
Mm-hmm.
Where's the Grand Canyon? What state is that in?
Arizona.
Is that in Arizona?
Yeah.
We're so hapless. Why are we... Really, it does seem a little scary that you put your destiny in the hands of a bunch of people who don't even know what state the Grand Canyon is in. All right, well, before we do anything else, let's take this call. This is somebody calling about the Sip and Chew restaurant. Hello, sir.
Hello, there's no such thing as a Sip and Chew.
Well, that's not true. We had somebody say yesterday that it was in Kalispell, Montana.
Well, he was wrong, and he needs to be stopped. There is a place called the Sip and Dip Lounge in Great Falls, Montana, and that's what he was trying to describe. It's got the swimming pool where you're in the bar and you look into the swimming pool, and they hire a mermaid to swim around in it.
What a sad job that must be. What do you do? I'm a mermaid in Kalispell.
GQ Magazine rated it as one of the top 10 bars in the United States, and it's in Great Falls, Montana, and it's a fantastic place.
All right. Well, hold on a second. I'm going to revise my map. Scratch this out. Okay. It's where in Montana?
Great Falls.
Great Falls. And it's called the Sip and Dip.
Sip and Dip Lounge. And it's attached to a hotel. And I'm the person you need to talk to about this whole trip, because I did this whole trip to Wisconsin on my motorcycle 3 years ago.
Oh, right on.
All right. So where is Great Falls relative to let's say, Portland?
East.
Yeah, okay. I understand that. But thanks so much. I'm saying, if you were to drive it, how long are we talking about?
You're talking about 4 days.
Oh, so not a matter of... I didn't know I was going to have to drive across country. All right, so this is so confusing. I feel like I'm just working in the dark here. Okay, so
this would be a great time to consult a map.
Yeah, thanks, ass. I have a map in front of me.
Oh, sorry.
I just don't really know where anything is. So if he's in Maryhill, Oregon,
right,
and then he goes to, let's say, Boise.
Right.
And then should he just go from Boise right to Great Falls?
Yeah.
Okay, fantastic.
Be great.
Excellent. Okay, so, that only required a slight revision of yesterday.
Yeah.
Excellent. All right, Great Falls. All right, so then we've got three destinations. Maryhill, Boise, Great Falls.
And Great Falls, that place, the Sip and Dip is not to be missed.
All right. It doesn't sound like... Is it just one mermaid or many mermaids?
Just one.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
There you go. What a sad existence that must be. What do you do? I wave at Hicks through a window in Great Falls while wearing some fins. All right. Let's see. What else do we have here?
It's at the O'Hare Motor Inn. It says Western Hospitality, Montana style.
Ooh.
The legendary Sip and Dip Tiki Lounge, named the number one bar on earth by GQ Magazine.
Really?
Huh? Nice.
Of all the night spots on the planet, the good folks at GQ Magazine selected the Sip and Dip Lounge as the number one bar on earth.
By God, I want to go on this trip now. The Sip and Dip Tiki Lounge in Great Falls. All right. Hi, Kathy. You're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Hi. I can't hear you very well for some reason.
Hello, Kathy.
Maybe it's because I'm on the highway.
Yes.
Well, I don't, I mean, this is an interesting little eclectic. I don't have any eclectic, neat little places to mention. But, I mean, you'll have to see the Badlands in the Dakotas or Fargo or definitely Glacier National Park in Montana.
Why is it that people keep leaping ahead to North Dakota? There's like 3 days in a row where I'm talking about Boise and then like, no, but in North Dakota. All right, so when we, here's the thing. So when we last left.
That's the mermaid.
I'm sorry, Tim is showing me a picture of the Great Falls mermaid. Okay, first of all,
she's in her 40s, yeah, possibly.
Yeah, I suppose if you're on like a base one numbering system. She's
an experienced mermaid.
You know, that water's going to wash that makeup right off.
Is this a glacier?
And she's wearing glasses also.
No, it's not a glacier. And she's wearing glasses. I don't think real mermaids wear glasses. And that much eyeliner. No, that's a bad look. All right, so here's the thing. If he's in Great Falls, Montana, the next state is Wyoming. So we got to find a place for him to go in Wyoming.
He's got to go to Yellowstone.
So Yellowstone, how close do you suppose that is to Great Falls?
Oh, gosh. That's probably more than me. That's probably 500 miles away.
Well, the top corner of Yellowstone is in Montana.
I think.
Maybe. All right. Excellent. Okay. Thank you, Kathy.
Yeah.
All right. There you go. Kathy was no help at all. All right. Hi, Joe. You're on the Rick Emerson Show. And then we got a break here in a few. But, Joe, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hi.
Hi. I've got a place for him just outside of Yellowstone in Montana called Silver Gate, Montana.
Okay.
Half the damn town is for sale, but they got an old brothel in that town that they've converted into kind of a motel. And they have a gourmet restaurant in this town and not much else.
So there's a gourmet restaurant and an empty brothel.
Well, it's not empty. There's some girls living there, but they say it's haunted.
So, now, but it's not still an active brothel, is it?
Well, you never know. I'm no hillbilly down, do you know what I mean?
That is true. So in case you and the missus get bored, Nate.
All right. Yeah.
And where is that at? Silver what?
Silver Gate.
Silver Gate, Montana.
Founded in 1932.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
Silver Gate. Portal of the Northwest.
It's Montana at its best.
Wildlife abounds. You'll see big horseshoe mountain goats and elk
for the night.
Silver Gate, Montana. What is the name of the place? Do you know the actual like the business, the where he should stay?
They have Silver Gate Cabins.
Okay.
Yeah, Silver Gate Cabins. They're nice little cabins. I mean, they got a gourmet restaurant in the middle of town, and you know, up on the mountain right above it, there's a whole bunch of mountain goats. Because we were in Yellowstone last year.
What do you think qualifies as a gourmet restaurant in Montana?
It's 4-star.
Very few bones. All right. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you, Joe.
Yep.
All right. We'll do one more. Scotty is telling me we have to take this final call before we break. Sarah's rolling her eyes at me. I know we're behind. No, but we've done good work here today. We've clarified
great.
The Sip and Dip, and then he's going to Silvergate, where there's a whorehouse. Hi, Scott. You're on Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Yeah, if he's in the Yellowstone area, Cody, Wyoming, the Buffalo Bill Historical Center. It's the world's best gun collection, and they have like a real good C.M. Russell art museum there too. If you're into Western art, but you got to see that gun collection. It's great.
All right, and this is where? This is near Yellowstone.
Yeah, Cody, Wyoming. It's just east of Yellowstone.
Cody, Wyoming. I'm just gonna write down Cody, Wyoming.
Named after Buffalo Bill Cody.
Yeah.
Guns, guns, guns is what I've written down.
You got to see the watermelon patch gun. It's a little gun you set in the center of your garden, and if you trip a wire, it's on top of a little box, and the gun automatically swings to where that wire was tripped and shoots.
That's fantastic. I could really use one of those in my home.
They also have Bentley Rodeo.
Keep the car thief.
All right, excellent. Thank you.
Okay.
All right, there you go. All right, so, Nate, okay, so in toto today, as they say, to wrap it up, so you are going to Maryhill, just in a miniature Stonehenge, followed by Boise Craters of the Moon, followed by the Great Falls Sip and Dip, Silver Gate, where you can see a whorehouse, and then finally the Buffalo Bill Guns, Guns, Guns Museum in Cody, Wyoming.
Beautiful.
Excellent. All right, we'll talk again tomorrow, my friend, and we'll take it from there.
All right, you guys, take it easy.
Thank you, sir. That's cross-country, Nate. All right, we're so behind.
They also have the medicine wheel. No one knows its true origin. Prospectors discovered the medicine wheel around 1885.
What does it do?
It was used by Native Americans, apparently. You spin the wheel and you get well.
Will this cure us of smallpox?
Give it a spin.
I think the efficacy of the medicine wheel has been shown.
All right.
Hi there. Back after this, the Rick Emerson Show continues around the corner.
With all the lies in the books to make a citizen out of you. Because they sleep with a gun and keep an eye on you, son, so they can watch all the things you do. Because the drugs never work, they're gonna give you a smirk. Cause they got methods of keeping you clean. They gonna rip up your head, your aspirations to spread. Another cog in the murder machine, they said.
It's the Rick Emerson Show.
My Chemical Romance.
Live last night. Now, here's the thing about this song. This song is actually not only stolen, it's stolen twice. I mean, don't get me wrong, it's a great song.
How is it stolen twice? They
said, I can tie this into how this song made me feel old last night. And it's not because it's about teenagers. You know, what a great song this is, though.
This is really good live.
It's a great song. But not me. All right. Here's the thing about it. It's stolen twice. One, it's stolen from Oasis's. It's stolen from Cigarettes and Alcohol by Oasis. I mean, flat out stolen. But that's okay because Cigarettes and Alcohol is flat out stolen from Bang a Gong by T-Rex. So, I mean, it really is stolen twice. But whatever, you know, everybody steals from everybody else, so that's fine. I'll play Cigarettes and Alcohol sometime. I mean, it's like it's flat out stolen from that, which Noel Gallagher, again, lifted from T-Rex. So we went to see My Chemical Romance last night at Memorial Coliseum. Let me just start with it. Here's why that song makes me feel old. And again, it's not because it's about teenagers, but it is because, again, I was saying it's so obviously lifted from Cigarettes and Alcohol by Oasis. I remember, because I've seen Oasis in concert a few times, and then I'm a huge Oasis fan, and I have a bunch of their live DVDs and whatever. And you know, you like to, at least in, you know, your head, you still think about a band like Oasis, maybe as being a contemporary band, but then you think, you know, that's already like 13 years ago that some of that stuff came out. So I remember seeing Oasis both in person and, you know, on the telly, as they say, and them playing Cigarettes and Alcohol, and that riff is just so, it's such a propulsive,
gonna
you know,
clean up
that
your
right there,
with all the lies
and it's just that chugging riff, and you watch those kids last night, and they were dancing that up and down pogoing thing exactly the same way that all the kids did 12 years ago to that Oasis song. I mean, it's just so weird and creepy. So, anyway, so we went to
I just felt old because during that whole, you know, you could see all the teenagers, you know, connecting with that song. They're like, look, it's about us.
Ooh, totally.
Like bouncing up and down all around us.
We got a couple of these. Let's see. Where's my Chemical Romance emails? Rick, please talk about the show last night. I went by myself because my best friend's 13-year-old little sister backed out. She was the only person I could find to go with me, so I went alone. What song were they playing when the sparks fell from the ceiling? I can't remember.
Mm.
Please hurry, I have to get ready for work. Oh, sorry.
That's the song that you like, right?
This is from noon. Sorry about that. And then signed, Teenager Scared the Living S Out of Me, Mary. It might have been during House of Wolves, which is the seventh song on the Black. So they played the Black Parade all the way through, and then they took a break, and then they came back and they played all their other hits. And I will say, I'm going to totally cop to this, that I am not one of those guys. Like, I'm not going to be like, you know, I'm a huge My Chemical Romance fan, and I've been following them since their indie demo record from, I don't know anything about their other
records.
That's
exactly how Raul is. He's like, you know, back in the day, they weren't even actually an indie pop band. They were really hardcore rock.
Did you
rock.
Have a four-track split-side Ep that they did in Chicago on the Green Noise label? No.
We got into an altercation about that yesterday, and he's like, oh, how did the concert start? And I described it to him, and I was like, some things are meant to be cheeseball. I can appreciate My Chemical Romance. The intro of the show was pretty cool.
And the thing is, I am so over, and I know not to rehash all the Bigger Than Jesus themes, but you know what? I don't care about anybody thinks. I don't care about looking hip or cool or now or whatever. The people can laugh all they want about whatever music I'm into. And there's a lot of music that I know a lot of stuff about, but some stuff I just like. It doesn't matter. So My Chemical Romance played last night with this band, The Blood, that we were lucky enough to miss. And the great thing is, I have now perfected the art of showing up just in time to completely miss the bad opening act, just so there's about 5 minutes, between, you know, just whatever house music, waiting for the headliner to come on. Because everybody knows, and I have a bunch of random notes here. Some of these observations I made last night, and some I didn't, but I was there with my Motorola Q just making notes all the way through. First of all, I will say this, as I say after every big show that I go to, the greatest moment of any show to me is usually the moments when the lights go out, right before the band comes on stage. To me,
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say real quickly, and this is any show. That moment, I'm talking about a big rock show, because I got a club or whatever, it doesn't really matter, the lights are just, it's not a big deal. But when you're at a big rock show and the lights all go out, to me, that's the greatest moment, because almost always the show isn't as good as you thought it was going to be. Even when it's a great show, it's never really, very rarely is it perfect. Because again, like, there can only be one best concert you've ever been to. There can only be one of those. You know, there's the best concert you've ever been to, and then there's everything else. So usually it's a little bit of a letdown, just because in your head you're so psyched up for it. To me, it's like when you, in the old days, kids, you used to unwrap a CD, you'd open the CD, and you'd put the brand new CD into your player, and that was the greatest moment. Because as soon as the CD starts to play, it's usually not the best CD you've ever heard. It's usually not the best record ever. In that moment right before the music starts, that's the greatest thing to me. And the moment when the lights go out, that is fantastic. That's when it still has this potential. And I know I sound all Cameron Crowe about it, but that's when it has the potential to be the best thing ever. It started so strong, though, because the lights go out, and then they started playing the beep of the heart monitor record.
That was super cool. You know, and it was predictable and corny and awesome. It was so rad.
See, the opening or the show?
The opening.
Yeah, the opening was fantastic.
No, the show is kind of like their music videos to me, where they're grasping, almost reach it, and then it kind of falls flat.
That's my thing. I do have to say, as psyched as I was for it, and I will say this by way of a prelude, I'm still a huge fan of that record. And I was listening to it last night, I was listening to it this morning. The Black Parade, the record, is still amazing. It's one of the best records of the last few years, in my opinion. But I was kind of let down with the show. The show just was not, it's like it wasn't stripped down enough to be like a real raw punk show or something, but it wasn't big and over the top enough to be a real theatrical experience. It was like in this weird middle ground where they kind of wanted to be theatrical, but it's like putting on a Sergeant Pepper costume and having the occasional pyrotechnic does not mean it's a theatrical rock show.
That moment, though, when it's singing, he's starting to know, come on, to the tragic affair, and he's laying in the thing, and then he gets up, in the gurney, and then he has the hospital gown on, and then as soon as it does that, bam, and the set, lights up, and you see the huge background, and he's in all of them in their marching outfits. That was pretty cool.
You know what's fantastic?
That moment was amazing.
The great thing that they did last night, they did a double open to the show last night. And again, even if you didn't see the My Chemical Romance thing, if you don't care about them, this is stuff that happens at a lot of concerts, these dynamics. They had a great opening, again, because it's a song about a guy dying of cancer in a hospital ward, blah, 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 blah. So the concert starts with just what looks like a bare stage, and it's just him laying in a gurney. And then he gets out of the gurney, and he's got, like, this white face on, like, he's sort of this corpse paint on. And he kind of sings the line. And then when the band kicks in, you know what I love? Is curtain drops.
Mm-hmm.
When the band is behind a curtain or a scrim, and then it either opens or it just drops. I never get tired of that,
that
ever.
That timing was dead on,
ever.
Too.
I never get tired of the sudden dramatic reveal of the band. That is so, and this is a thing that I've said a billion times, but I am so glad that we've escaped this long tunnel we were in where it was like a crime to sort of be dramatic. And it was this long, this sort of unpleasant grunge period we went through where everybody decided that they had to be dour and just stare at their sneakers all night. But I'm glad we've gotten back to a point where you can sort of be over the top and theatrical. So that was great. Boy, goddamn was the sound terrible, though. I've seen a music show with the Memorial Coliseum in years. I think it's been a long time. Everything has been the Rose Garden or some smaller venue. But boy, man, it was just like muddy and just, it was weird. And I'll just go through these notes that I've made real quickly. Note number one from last night's show. When did cell phones replace glow sticks, which in turn replaced lighters? I don't even know when. I was talking to Kristen about this. Kristen was there. I don't even know when this happened. They're playing the ballad, whatever, some ballad early on. And I look around, and suddenly everybody is just waving their cell phones in the air. And for a minute, I thought they were glow sticks. And then I kind of squinted and I looked closer, and everybody, I don't know how many thousand people were there, everybody is just waving a cell phone in the air. And I don't know when that happened. There must have been some memo put out about that at some point. And it was creepy. I mean, it's like real 100th monkey stuff. Where, like, one day nobody was doing it. 2 days later, everyone on Earth knows to do that now. It was really strange. I mean, I, of course, am old enough to remember waving the cigarette lighters. But then I remember there was this sort of interim stage when they didn't want you bringing lighters. Or maybe, you know, crowds that didn't, you know, where there weren't all smokers or something. Because smoking's, I think, less in vogue than it maybe used to be. And so people would wave glow sticks. Now it's just the cell phone, which is just weird. Let's see. I am hearing lead guitar, says this note, yet no one is playing lead guitar. Where is this sound coming from?
It's funny, I was hearing Gerard Way's voice, but he was harmonizing with himself at a lower octave.
Yes, there was a lot of that last night. There was a lot of, where is this music coming from that the band is allegedly playing on stage? This is like when I saw Aerosmith sing Love in an Elevator a few years ago, and there's that, at the end of Love in an Elevator, they do that a cappella, you know, Love in an Elevator. And strangely, I heard Joey Kramer singing it, even though he was still running to the microphone from his drum kit. He was running from the drums down to the microphone. He was nowhere near a microphone, and yet, amazingly enough, I actually heard him singing. It was the damnedest thing. So it was last night. There were several sections where I heard lots of vocalists, and yet no one was really singing. Heard lead guitar, no one playing lead guitar, and as your friend Tuggy noted, the guitarists never changed. They played...
Not throughout the entire thing.
Each guy, the rhythm guitarist and the lead guitarist, they had one guitar each, and they never changed guitars the entire night. They didn't change guitars. I didn't see an effects pedal. I know I sound like a musical dork right now, but come on. At least pretend. At least pretend that you're, like, playing the music live. What else? Oh, least metal moment ever. This is the least rock moment ever last night. I swear to God, I don't know anything about the personal life of Gerard Way, who's the lead singer of My Chemical Romance. I don't know what his personal lifestyle is or his orientation. It's not my business. I'm simply saying this. You cannot blow kisses to your road crew on stage. And even worse than that, you can't ask the rest of the crowd to blow kisses to the roadies.
And then say kisses over and over again and blow kisses.
This is the guy, it was so awkward. And they're doing this big over-the-top rock show, and I swear to God, this is what the guy from Chemical Romance does.
He had the worst on-stage banter ever.
He was terrible. He was awful. He had zero stage presence. None. Zero.
He could dance around and, like, gallop around. I thought that he was pretty entertaining at times.
Yeah, I think
very small.
I don't know that he was pretty entertaining, but he was pretty. I'll say that. And I don't really know that it was dancing. It rhymed with dancing. But
he was a little fancy pants.
Yes, he was. Somewhere there's like a band camp missing a member. There was this moment last night, though, where he's thanking the road crew, and he's thanking all the people who helped put the tour on, because last night was their last American date. So this is the least rock moment ever, where the lead singer of My Chemical Romance is thanking the crew on stage, which you could do. Like, you can do that. You can go, like, hey, I want to thank the people who keep My Chemical Romance rolling, you know, or whatever. He doesn't do that. He says, I want to thank the road crew. Let's all thank them. And I swear to God, this is not me doing this. This is what he did last night. He says, I want to thank the road crew. Kisses. I mean, and Sarah and I just looked at each other with this sort of, is this really happening, look on our face.
It was so awful. And then he kept getting into this, like, really feminine voice.
Yeah.
He'd be like, oh, you threw a surprise party for me? You shouldn't have. Saying creepy things like that. I'm like, what are you doing, dude?
It was really weird. There were moments where it was full on, like, Spinal Tap.
I know, and then as soon as you put that in my freaking head, I could not stop thinking it. It was making me laugh throughout the entire show.
There were times when and I know we're making it sound like I don't like the band. I really do.
It was a good show.
It was an okay show. I love the record, but goddamn, there are things you just got to learn. You know, you got to be on the road, I think, for a long time and for a lot of years before you learn how to do certain things. There were moments last night where this guy from My Chemical Romance tried to put on the spooky voice. This song is about embracing the darkness. This song is about examining the inner beast. You know, and I swear to God, and you just expect, where are they now, the little people of Stonehenge? Now Gather they dance beneath the harvest moon. I swear to you.
I'm going
to
go rent that movie today.
I told Sarah, I'm like, Stonehenge.
Oh, and awful because you ruined it for me. Because all I could picture was that coming down around Gerard Way.
I made this note to myself, worst stage presence ever, and which is unduly harsh. He didn't have the worst stage presence ever, but he really just, that guy needs to go to like a rock camp or something for a while. And the blowing the kisses thing, you can do that if and only if you are Freddie Mercury. And you, sir, are no Freddie Mercury. Freddie Mercury is the only rock star in the history of the world.
Can you make another note in reference to him as Freddie Mercury?
I don't believe
so. Are you not going to read that one?
I don't know. I only made that. I just said...
I remember you typing it in your phone.
Oh, no, that was Joni. Joni sent me a text message. Joni sent me a text message where she observed that Gerard Way from My Chemical Romance had mannerisms that might indicate that he shared certain traits with Freddie Mercury.
That being a beautiful voice.
Yeah. Let's see. What else do I have here? Guy sings better with opera songs than with rock songs. They would do these really like over-the-top opera songs, and he seemed really into those. Then they would try to rock, and it just seemed like he was faking.
Now, did you ever notice how he kind of looks like Billy Corgan, and when he's screaming like that, he kind of sounds like him from Smashing Pumpkins?
Yeah, and I suspect that at some point in the future, we're going to hear about that guy ditching the band and just doing a full-length, like, La Boheme tribute somewhere. I mean, he just seemed much more comfortable with that. Let's see, what else? The final note that I have here is, flames felt at the back. They were doing that thing a couple times last night. I don't have any problem with pyrotechnics, but they were doing that thing last night where the flames would sort of shoot up behind the band. This is a thing that always weirds me out at concerts. The flames are shooting up, and we're like way in the back. I mean, we're like up in the nosebleed seats, which is fine, because we got there late and I didn't want to stand. I'm fine with sitting.
No, I like because you can see everything.
Those flames would shoot up on stage, and it never fails to creep me out. The flames shoot up, and we can immediately feel them. I mean, that's kind of weird. And I know that if you're into physics or if you understand how, like, the universe works or whatever and how heat is conducted, I guess maybe it's less weird to you. But, man, when those flames shoot up and you can immediately feel those on your body, and I'm, like, 9 miles from the stage, that's freakish, man. You got to wonder what that feels like if you're the band on stage.
And they're wearing these full-on, like, thick marching suits. I was surprised they weren't, you know, hotter.
I mean, it's got to singe the back of your neck or something if you're one of those guys. You really do understand how those, like, Hetfield pyrotechnic happens.
Like, falling on the ground?
Yeah.
That just looked a little dangerous.
You understand exactly how it is that those accidents happen where guys, you know, where fade to black becomes, like, arm to black. All right, let's see. Our good friend Andrew says, Rick, I love the curtain drop band reveal like in the Pour Some Sugar on Me video. He said, one of the things I hate about playing club shows is that people can see you. The only thing cooler is the trick where the singer pops out from underneath the stage behind a pyro explosion. Signed, Woot. That's Andrew. Best onstage appearance during a pyro explosion is the Lay Your Hands on Me video by Jon Bon Jovi, where they do that, you know, and he just shoots out through the floor of the stage, and they're doing the shower of sparks. That's pretty goddamn fantastic.
Okay, how cool is it, though, during, like, the song The Black Parade, when all of a sudden they fired out of the cannons all of that confetti?
Confetti is great. I'm a big sucker for confetti in
a
rock
show.
I know that this whole thing is making me sound, like, big and gay, but, you know, what are you going to do? I'm a huge fan of confetti. I love confetti. I love things that sparkle. That element of it was pretty great. So, anyway, so there you go. So, if you were there, I mean, it was, overall, I mean...
I'm glad I saw it.
I'm glad I saw it, and I'm glad it was free. I'll just put it that way. And I know that's an awful way to sum it up, but...
That's how you summarize it when we were walking to the car.
I did learn a new word last night, though. The word is brodeo. And a brodeo, please to define brodeo, Sarah.
A brodeo is with just a bunch of guys hanging out and being obnoxious.
And this is a word that your friends use, your male friends.
Yes, Raul and his friends, that when they go, they're weird.
You're dating a guy that uses the word brodeo in conversation.
No, he doesn't use it in conversation. I think it's just been kind of typecast as that, and people refer when they're all together as a brodeo.
So there you go. Yeah, Scotty says it does sound like a Brokeback Mountain term. You're really right. Or like a sexual act.
Scotty J and Brokeback Mountain.
I gave her the grubby brodeo.
Grubby brodeo?
My knuckles are still bruised. All right, it's 503-733-2970. We will come back after this. Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth, and we'll talk to your good friend, Scotty J. What could that be about, I wonder? Stay there. Don't go anywhere. It's the Rick Emerson Show. show live from Portland, 503-733-2970. Like us at 3, Don and Mike at 7, and so forth. We'll have a little bit of news that you will either find exciting or ridiculous or just few. In the meantime, in between time, ladies and gentlemen, he is your president, your prophet, your seer, and your revelator.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Tram is proposing a 5-cent increase on bus and max fares to cover the cost of inflation. That'll take place on September 1st if it's approved. Now, honored citizen fares remain unchanged, so try to become an honored citizen if you can. Meanwhile, Senator Gordon Smith went on a tour of Iraq, and he came back. He said he didn't like it. He didn't elaborate. He's getting nationwide attention by denouncing the president's war policy. He says there's a civil war going on there, but other than that, it's fine. Time for a Darwin watch.
Here's your Darwin watch for Wednesday.
Some bad stuff is about to go down.
Don't.
Goes. 34-year-old man was killed when he lost control of his motorcycle and flew into a tree. Charlie Alexander was dead at the scene, and he was not wearing a helmet. Witnesses told police that Alexander was showing off his motorcycle to friends in the parking lot of his apartment complex.
There you go. That's the sentence that makes it all worthwhile. Watch this.
The bike hit a slick area, went out of control, hit a curb, throwing Alexander headfirst into a tree. Clonk.
That's an artist recreation of the event.
A golfer died after his golf cart plunged 75 feet off a cliff and crashed into a road. 65-year-old man teed off with three friends on the second hole of the Palomeso Resort Golf Course, about 50 miles north of San Diego.
I bet he's teed off now.
Then he got into his cart. The vehicle veered off the concrete pathway, traveling down the 25-foot embankment, and went off a cliff. The victim, a recent retired real estate agent from Irvine, was ejected shortly before the cart hit the road beneath the cliff, and he died on impact. It's unknown what his name is. Drugs and alcohol weren't a factor this time.
Sure. There you go. There's your double Darwin watch for Wednesday.
Don't. Another one bites the dust. Don't. Another one bites the dust. And another one goes. And another one goes. Another one bites the dust. Yeah.
All right, ladies and gentlemen.
And one more. The police department of Fort Collins, Colorado, says it's trying to be thorough. It has in custody a man suspected of swiping more than 1,300 pair of women's undergarments from various laundry rooms. Police want very much to return these stolen undergarments, sports bras,
yes,
pantyhose.
They can't wait to have them back.
But there's a catch. On Friday, between 10 and 3, the victims have to come to the police station. But they'll only be able to view pictures of the missing undies that have been recovered in an attempt to match the victim with the items. Lieutenant Hal Dean said the actual items could not be claimed until resolution of the criminal case.
Who would possibly want those back? No one's going to show up to that. You know who's going to show up to that? Some other perv that wants to take home underwear.
Because
it sounds like it's all in one place. All right, ladies and gentlemen, Tim Riley, greatest newsman in all of planet Earth.
No, thank you.
He'll be back in a little over an hour, 4 o'clock, 5, 6 o'clock, and 7 o'clock, top of the hour, all the way through.
Like it.
The news never ends.
No, it's true.
All right, so I got a couple of things here. And by the way, by way of a heads up, I'll play us into the next break.
Okay.
All right. So Dennis Pitzenbarger from Miles Around, 9 to 11, immediately preceded by Car and Driver Radio on Saturdays. Hi. Hello, Dennis. How are you?
Not too bad. How are you?
So I swear to God, and this is, I talked to, I don't even know how to set this up. I don't even really know how to describe this.
It could be a train wreck. It could be huge.
So you host Miles Around on Saturday with our good friend F. Matt Peterson.
Yes, I do.
Who used to work on this program and now, as they say, works for another company. But you guys host the formerly known as the Fuel Show, now Miles Around, 9 to 11 on Saturdays, where you talk about all things automotive. Now, Matt's going to be out of town this weekend. He's gone.
Yeah, Matt.
He can't do it. He's not available.
Well, no, Matt gave me about a month leeway that he was going to do his annual Memorial Day, whatever it is, Labor Day, whatever it is, you know, campground thing. I knew it was coming. Before we used to have three people on the show, and when one of us would leave, it would be no big deal. Now that there's only two,
it's just you.
It's just me standing there.
And so Dennis comes into my office today, and he says, "Hey, I have an idea for the show this weekend. If If I were to ask you, and by you I'm talking to, you out there in Radioland, if I were to ask everybody, of the 5 billion people on planet Earth, who would be the absolute dead-ass final, everyone else has been killed by some sort of a smallpox-like plague choice to co-host a radio program? Who do you think that might be? If I could just the number, if I could just, you know, the absolute final choice. You absolutely go to the, you're not even at the bottom of the barrel. You've actually picked up the barrel, and you're looking underneath.
Scotty J, this is David Cassidy. You don't know what else to say, except...
You're not going to amount to jack squat!
Beams up, Scotty.
End of message.
Now, welcome to the Rick Emerson Show, our intrepid PA, the one and only Scotty J, who joins us now on Tim Riley's microphone. Scotty J, hello, how are you?
You have to turn on.
You have to turn on the... This is going to... Yeah.
You just turned it off.
You just turned it off.
Hello, everybody.
Are you regretting this yet? He didn't even turn the microphone on correctly.
Well,
how ironic that we bring him in to talk about this and he can't operate the microphone. Dennis?
Well, you know, I thought I'd tap into what was and could be the Scotty J... The audience, the power, the revelation.
You couldn't find anybody else, could you?
I couldn't. So I really what I wanted to do is see if Scotty wanted to come on and maybe we could increase our listenership by having you come on and co-host with me this weekend.
Increase your listenership. I'm even laughing, Rick.
Don't look at me.
Actually, it sounds like a great opportunity, and I love cars. I love talking about cars. I love buying cars on a weekly basis, and so I think I could add a bunch to the show.
Well, I just thought it'd be something that'd be interesting. You know, you kind of, there was an impromptu thing that went on this very program about being the Scotty J show, that they put you on the spot, and you did such a great job when they did that. I thought I'd...
Now, Scotty, have you ever listened to Dennis's weekend show?
I have. It's actually a good show. I like it.
All right. Now, what is it that you, what do you think he will bring to the program, Scotty?
A whole bunch of, yes man responses, probably.
Exactly. You're going to fit in perfectly. You are going to function flawlessly.
Well, considering that Matt most of the time is playing online poker while I'm babbling about automobiles.
I'm busy playing Neverwinter Nights. I can't. what is it that you want Scotty to do? And we're going to be talking more about this, by the way. We'll talk about this Thursday and Friday. So what is it Scotty will be expected to do in his role as co-host this weekend?
Well, I kind of, I guess...
Stress. This is not a joke, by the way.
No.
Dennis came into my office today and he goes, "What would you think about Scotty being my co-host this weekend?" And I sort of chuckled. I do have one fan out there.
Yes.
I laughed and went back to typing.
Oh well, you know, I want to give him support if he wants to come on. I think it'd be fun to have Scotty on just because, you know, he's a part of this show, and I've said many times that without this show there would be no.
I will say for a minute, you can either call me Sarah. We'll say this, you just more. Flawless timing you're going to get to work with this weekend. Sarah will say this is more proof that I am egocentric or whatever. But when you came in, I kind of thought you were going to ask me to do it. That's not because like I know
you
anything about
everything
cars.
Everything involves you.
In what world would I have thought he was coming in to ask Scotty to be the co-host? Really,
well, Scotty knows more about cars than you do.
Okay, let me put yourself in my position, Sarah. Let's say you're here, you're working. Dennis comes in, you know, before you're on the air, and he says, "Hey, Sarah, so you know, Matt's gone this weekend, and I don't really have a co-host, so I was thinking you would assume he was coming in to ask you."
Probably.
That's what I thought. So imagine my simultaneous relief and then the various other emotions when he said, "So I was thinking Scotty J could co-host with me this weekend." So.
Well, I wasn't trying to in any way punch you in the ego.
Oh, no, it's fine with me. I can sleep in.
I know that you spend a lot of time here. You have multiple hats for this very building. And, you know, hey, you're on the air 4 hours a day every day. My little two-hour thing is, you know, we've had you on the program before, and we had a lot of fun talking about cars, but it was more joking. We ended up talking about Star Wars, cars that were on like Star Wars and Star Trek.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. I will be awake. I will be awake and sitting near a radio listening to every moment of Saturday.
You should be right here. There's plenty of microphones.
No. It'll just
be Scotty J's already making executive decisions.
It'll just be you and Dennis.
He probably asked me to do this because he wants coffee this weekend. I bet you that's what I'll
take one call about. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, this is Brad.
Hey.
Brad.
So what am I, chop liver, Dennis?
Hey, Brad, if you'd like to come in, you're welcome.
I think we got to keep it the pure undiluted Dennis and Scotty magic.
I was just going to volunteer if you need me to do a little prep work and give him at least some information.
Oh, Well, no,
no,
he's
gone. All right, we're dropping out there.
Sorry about that. So. I didn't know if Brad wanted to do it. I thought maybe he was hung over from the concert last night. But
it's the shrieking of 12-year-olds.
I didn't even think about Brad. I just had an idea where I thought it was some of the best parts of this show lately in the last couple months. Was the deal where you had Scotty J come on for the Scotty J show? So I thought it was interesting.
Well, we'll talk more about it
once.
It's going to be more. We'll talk more about it tomorrow and Friday. But just so we'll give everybody a heads up. Coming up Saturday on this very fine radio station from 9 to 11. Miles Around with Dennis Pitzenbarger and Scotty J. It makes me smile thinking about it. It really does.
They grow up so fast.
It's true. Our Scotty is leaving the nest.
He's going to be 41 any day now.
All right, back after this, the Rick Emerson Show. You stay there. Rick Emerson radio program. It's 503-733-2971.
I know you tried, but this is the crappiest quality ever.
I know. It's all over Twitter. What are you going to do? Somebody send me the link to a wait, because I didn't bring it with me. I don't have my whatever.
Okay, we can play it tomorrow.
Just go back to the Guns N' Roses. Then. It's fine.
I stopped it.
No, somebody
I do have something up still. If we
somebody sent me this cigarettes and alcohol link, which I didn't have time to preview. Thanks so much. I was going to illustrate my brilliant point about cigarettes and alcohol being the secondary theft. Okay, it's fine. I failed.
Yes, you did.
Shut up! You're not supposed to agree. You know, I got a lot of these. I'm getting a lot of these. What do you suppose that Dennis thinks Scotty J is going to be bringing to the table this weekend? You know, we'll be examining that further. It's as the days go on.
What time does the show start?
9 to 11.
Oh, I'm getting up early for that.
How long do I have for the music starts here? Do I have time to...
About 15 seconds.
Yeah, I got nothing. Okay, I have no time to read anything except for this. Listen to this. Rick, one of my... damn it, I'm going to bring that Oasis song in tomorrow. And the T-Rex. Days after the fact. And I'll show you that I'm right. Rick, one of my best friend's dads worked in the prison at Chino where the Manson girls are imprisoned. She used to get hand-drawn pictures from them for her birthdays when she was a little girl. The cognitive dissonance from what they did with Manson and their crudely drawn horsies saying happy sixth birthday is really, really weird. Why don't I get to know the Manson girls? So unfair.
You are still so obsessed with them.
I really am.
It seems like it should be a phase you're out of by now.
No, it's apparently not. I wonder if this guy could get me a Manson girl birthday card. How hot would that be? Maybe that was an inside thought. Well, hi. Hello there. It's the Rick Emerson radio program. We want to thank CNN radio correspondents Jim Roof, Lisa Goddard, and Steve Kastenbaum. Rick Emerson show produced today and every day with the lovely and talented Sarah S. Dillon for AM 970 Solid State Radio. In the newsroom, it's Tim Riley. The PA is Scotty J. And, of course, the gatekeeper is one David Zinn. As always, my friends, don't let the bastards grind you down and do your part to help the retarded. I did. See you all tomorrow. Bye now.